of Steam, Steel, and Murder, back again with another in our Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast adventures. This is Session 35 in one sitting with our players Sharon, Chris, Jameis, and Richard. No new news and nothing in our mailbag makes for a quick intro, so we'd love to hear from you. Remember that you can comment on the podcast at steamsteelmurder@gmail.com. Or join us on our public forums at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. For now, here is episode 35 complete. We're back with another Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast. This is episode 35. Yes, 35. Yay. Wherein we are revisiting the module from Owl Hoot Trail, a game put out by Pelgrane Press. In my opinion, it's half the book is a module called. Let's see, what is it called? They Rode to Perdition. It's this excellent module, one of the best modules I've seen for GM advice and how to adjust on the fly if your characters do something like, oh, kill the main bad guy in the first scene.
we may not this time. May not. I'm not going to guarantee anything.
No guarantees, right. Well, let's go down the list here. Eddie Guff, as played by
Chris. Can you hear me okay?
Hear you just fine, Chris. What are your cards tonight?
Awesome. I have Perfect Timing. Pay a Benny to search through the remaining adventure deck and take any one card of your choice. I also have Hot Iron and Whiskey. Play on a wounded character. He has one wound healed, but gains a permanent scar. Roll on the injury table in the Savage Worlds core book for location. He gains -1 charisma if the scar is visible. And Teamwork. Your hero and any adjacent allies add +4 to their next trait rolls. The allies must be adjacent when the card is played to receive the bonus. I have Hidden Stash. Your hero scrounges up a generic type of item of your choosing, such as food and water, shelter, box of ammo, enough money for a room, etc. And I have Quick Funeral. Play on any character that has died. That character returns to the game as a Harrowed. Unfortunately, his Manito has control of him for the first 24 hours after he has risen. And that's what I have.
Right. Well, that solves the problem if we kill the bad guy.
Yeah.
All right, it's Sarah Beauchamp, as played by...
Okay, hi, this is Sharon. I'm playing Dr. Sarah Beauchamp, and I have Angry Mob. Play during combat. A mob of angry locals equal to 2 per hero joins the battle as allies. Treat them as soldiers armed with whatever the GM deems appropriate. They stay for the current battle only. And Second Wind. Play your hero to automatically remove all wounds sustained in this combat, but not crippling injuries. If shaken, he is unshaken now as well. Here comes the cavalry. Help arrives on the scene from some source determined by the GM. Rise up, rise up. Play if the group is surprised. All heroes ignore the surprise and are dealt in as usual. I had also gotten this card Just Rules, which allows me to get 2 additional cards. So my additional cards are Unexpected Insight. Your character watched or read something about a non-human creature he's currently fighting. He knows one of its weaknesses, or if it had none, adds 2 to his attack and damage rolls against this type of creature for the rest of the... Come on.
Combat.
For the rest of the session.
Oh, session.
The rest of the nice. For the session. And I have Power Surge. The character immediately recovers 2d6 power points. These points may exceed his usual limit, but any excess points are lost at the end of the current encounter.
All right. And Luke Villeneuve.
Luke Villeneuve, Canadian extraordinaire, as played by Jameis. I have Arcane Inspiration, immediately recover all spent power points. Contact. Your hero sees an old friend or acquaintance who might help him in his current quest somehow. Of course, he also makes a favor in return. Seize the day. The character acts as if you join a joker this combat round. You shall not pass. Character gains +2 to all attack and damage rolls. Fixed lasts as long as the character does not move and is not shaken at the end of another character's action. And revelation. Your character finds all the information available when doing research or realizes critical information when confronting some obstacle, such as a monster's weakness, the answer to a riddle or cipher, etc.
Right, and finally, Yong Jian Lu.
I like the sound of that finally. Okay. Oh, I am Richard. I am playing poor, simple, humble martial artist Yong Jian Lu. And my cards are get a clue from the GM, noble sacrifice, throw yourself in front of an attack that an ally is suffering, you take the damage instead. Reinforcements! Reinforcements arrive for the bad guys! Woo! Who doesn't love that card? Each player gets to immediately draw an adventure card from the deck, which means they can play more than one in a session. Deadly blow, so I can double the total damage of a successful melee attack, which I never use, obviously. I never use melee attack. Get savage, can have an edge for the rest of the combat, and dress to kill. +4 to your charisma for the duration of the current scene.
Well, we're all flush up with cards then. Recap, last session.
We started off in the mists of the 37th chamber, as we didn't know what was going on. We couldn't remember anything that happened to us the previous time. So we went to the now no longer mystical and just an ordinary simple 37th chamber village and looked around there, finding a few people who were just living a poor, simple, humble existence, where poor, simple, humble martial artist Yong Jian Lu kind of felt at home, slightly. We asked around, got some information on the Devil's Post Piles, where we were thinking of heading, and about Shan Shu Wen, who's the martial artist who is in prison at the moment. And then we went back to, I wanted to say Perdition. Where did we go back to?
Nope. Shannonsburg.
Shannonsburg. There we go. There's my note. Then we went back to Shannonsburg and found a lawyer for Shan Shu Wen. And now I will pass on the baton.
Next!
Somebody pick it up before I drop it. It's right. Relay's going to break.
I think people have forgotten.
Yeah, I pretty much have.
Yeah, while in Chennersburg, we did a few things, including finding a lawyer for the guy that Richard just said, and I didn't listen to in the slightest.
Yes, lawyer Barry Milhouse.
Barry Milhouse, yeah, Bert Milhouse. Luke checked on the state of the gun that they were getting repaired, and it was actually all finished up now, so we're just waiting for all the ships to turn up so we can put it in place. And I want to skip to when we went to the other place, because that's when something interesting happened, but I'm sure there's something else that happened while we were in Chennersburg as well. Anyway, we went to Elspeth Town eventually. Someone came backtracking there. And then Luke ran pink slips for the ownership of the REO Speedwagon versus ownership of Sarah's patents on the goggles. And, of course, he won because he is a fantastic driver. And so he now owns the REO Speedwagon. Yay! That's important stuff.
Anyone else?
Eddie bet on Luke and won, which was very nice. Now he actually has a lot more money. Then I don't remember what else we did in Elizabeth Town, but I know when we headed out, we ran into a sandworm, and we outran it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got into a town that we were heading to and parked there.
Camden is the town that's close to the Devil's Post Piles.
Okay, that's where we went. And that's about all I can remember.
Mm-hmm. Sarah, you got anything to add?
Actually, no.
You should. There's some other stuff that happened.
Yeah, I distinctly remember threatening Luke with, serious injury if he lost that race.
We ran into some robbers on the way into town. Well, ran over, six of one.
Yeah.
And when we text the, also when we're at the, I don't remember if Richard said this or not, but when we're at the mystical place, I'm completely forgetting names of everything, to the 57th chamber, wherever it was, we also cut ourselves some trees so we could use it to detect nearby ground vibration, artifacty things, and we found out that the one that's in the post box is moving around.
Yes, you have the dowsing rods.
Oh, yes. That's the puppy. Yep. Thank you. I knew something happened. I forgot.
The other thing, let's see, back in Shannonsburg, you sent a message out to the Van Dorens, checking on the AAA whiskey, seeing if there's anything up about that.
And if you yet to get back to us about anything we've sent them.
I think we had one message from them at some point.
We took, our Millhouse got together with his new client, and they're happy to work together.
Mm-hmm. For the one of the martial artists who's awaiting trial.
Save the lowly martial artist fund, yes.
Well, we paid for it pretty well.
So you ended last game riding into the town of Camden after, as Jameis said, running over and through some desperados on the way out here. And so one of the first things you did was locate the sheriff's office.
I didn't do that first. The sheriff came out because we were in a big, noisy speed wagon.
Yes.
We did stop outside the sheriff's office to say, hi, sheriff, we're in town. And then he came up here.
Yep. And the sheriff is a big, drunken lout, from what you can tell.
It's kind of hard to miss us coming into town.
Mm-hmm. And you found lodgings at the one and only hotel, the Majestic, in town, which is a far, far, far cry from how the place actually looks. Highfalutin name. Not so nice otherwise. It's a little run down. At one point in time, it was very nice. Now it's in desperate need of some repair and some couple of coats of paint. But you've been set up with several rooms. And I think that's where we ended, where you guys basically just checked in to the hotel.
After a long time on the road, and we were probably going to go to sleep, I think, because it was evening.
Yes, and you had been up driving for the better part of a day and a bit together, because we came in on coal rather than ghost. Yes.
Yeah.
All right, so we'll say that after the very long trip, you guys unless you had something in particular you wanted to do, just caught some shut eye for a bit, and
in the interests of everybody being up and around at the same time, I think that's a good idea.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. Yep.
All right. In which case, you guys are all woken, perhaps far too early in the morning, by a series of gunshots from out in the main street.
You rush to the window to see Nick's character fall again.
Yes.
So do I need to make a new spirit roll? It's a new day.
It's a new day. Yes, go ahead.
Oh, so that's
just for him.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm fine.
Yep. Yes, your cat dragon is actually in fine mood this morning as well. You rush out to the window and look, and it looks like you're catching the tail end of a quick and brutal gunfight that just happened out in the main street. There's a few people laying dead. There's already an undertaker out there measuring the corpses in the time it took you to leap out of bed and get to a window.
Do we all have windows overlooking the street?
No.
I think we had two rooms. One for
the ladies and one for the guys. Room. Yeah. So we'll say the guys' room was overlooking the street. And the girls' room will be overlooking. So your guys are in the room over here. I'm just going to move around Luke's picture there. Is everybody seeing the map of Camden?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes.
All right. So the guys, you've got the room overlooking here. Girls, you've got the room overlooking here. And so the gunfight just took place out and, let's see, out here. middle of the street. All right. So you're looking out the window, Young, and it seems after this short, brutal conflict, it's business as usual. There's a young boy already running out into the street, pouring down sod over the pools of blood. Undertaker is out measuring the dead bodies for size, and another guy has pulled up a wagon with planks of wood, and they're sizing for caskets. Everyone else in the street just seems to be going about their business.
I look to see if the law is coming to do anything about it.
Not as of yet.
Yeah, he probably has a hangover. Oh, can we see who shot the person?
You can see that there's a group of men still kind of hanging around outside the general store. There's five men out here now, and they're checking on their horses. You didn't see the shots. All you're seeing is the dead bodies on the ground.
Okay.
What an interesting start to the morning. Let's hope the whole town is not like this.
Welcome to Camden. And cue some, 50s television music here. Like Green Valley or something.
Well, I guess it's time to get up. So get up, get cleaned up, go downstairs, find a place to eat.
Sure, they have some sort of breakfast in the hotel. Yeah. I do not see anywhere else to eat.
You guys get up, go downstairs, and there's a coffee service and some pastries about. There's a few other people down here in the hotel, too. They look like they're traveling through. They all look to be businessmen of one sort or another, and they're taking orders at the table. Coffee and tea service being carted around.
Well, we'll get a nice, big, hot, steaming cup of coffee and ask casually to guess one of the whoever's serving. What was all the shooting out this morning?
Oh, you pay no never mind to that, dear. Happens every once in a while.
No, really? How frequently? Started it?
Yeah, she looks, she's got a smile on her face. She's trying to keep it, civil and calm. You can tell she's just a little frightened by how her hand shakes just a little bit as she serves you the coffee. And she says, no, nothing to get involved with, dear. It's just something that happens now and then. We got some... We got some boys around here that just get a little hot under the collar once in a while. I'm sure the sheriff will straighten things out. No, nothing to be afraid of. You might have your breakfast, and I'm sure by the time you're done, things will be straightened up out there. Yeah, old Leroy's already got the kids out dusting down the streets. We'll be fine.
Oh, okay. It's just curious. Interesting way to wake up.
We're sorry about that. Here, have some pastries on the house. She loads you up with some sugary confections as she hurries on to another table.
Are they any good?
They're not bad.
Okay.
At least they're not stale, you know.
Yeah. Okay, well, eat the pastry and... There's my companions.
Yeah, you make up the largest group of people down here. There's three other people around, scattered about the room. They look like they're here individually, not as a group. And they're reading newspapers, head down in it, trying not to arouse any interest from anyone.
So we should be able to get out of here and sort out what's at the post piles and then head out of here before the end of the night. Before the end of the day, then.
Yeah. Hmm. Interesting.
No reason to stick around at all.
Interesting. Interesting, though. The waitress seemed a little scared. I guess she didn't like the gunfire too much.
Was the waitress the proprietor?
proprietress here?
You don't think so, no, considering, you know, she was wearing just a waitress's uniform and...
In this small town?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what that...
Yeah, small town. You got to make jobs for people. Otherwise, they'd be poor and looking for handouts on the streets.
Huh.
Population control as well.
Yeah. Well, they don't seem too worried about it, so I guess maybe we shouldn't be too worried about it either.
Yeah, I agree. Do we want to look around the town at all? Maybe go into the general store and see what's in there?
Yeah.
See if we can find another big Gatling gun.
Do not believe we need another one of those.
No.
See if anybody's overhearing our conversation. It's small, tiny.
Once again, there's three other men dressed in, you know, the city slicker outfits, probably businessmen who, once again, like nose buried in the paper, trying very hard not to be noticed. One thing that I will say that is probably necessary, since you fired up the REO Speedwagon on coal to get here, you probably need to replenish that, which I think you talked to the stable boys about getting some for you when you first came in.
Mm-hmm. And they said they were able to, so that shouldn't be a problem.
Yep, and water, of course, for the steam engine. If for nothing else, you know, seeing as you're in mostly a desert. Anyway, so it's you know, pretty early in the morning. You know, sun's been up for maybe an hour at this point. We'll call it 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay. All right. Is there any like bacon or possibly getting a good hearty meal for breakfast?
Yeah, you know, there's some bacon on the menu as well as some beef patties. You know, nothing too fancy, but it looks like they've got a decent service.
Okay. Order myself up a nice, if they have it, some steak and eggs. If they don't, then just some beef patties and eggs.
Sure, sure. Yeah, they get cooked up a ribeye, and it's raw as you like it, I'm sure. The food's passable, you know. You're a little bit further out into California now, where food isn't quite as dear. I mean, your portions are still, you know, of a reasonable size. But you don't have the problems of food distribution as you do along the coast, where there's so many people living in kind of small areas.
Well, I guess we can ask around here about the Devil's Postpiles to see if they can know anything about what is going on.
Sure, who do you ask?
Well, no, I am discussing this with the...
Okay.
That is the only thing I can really think of to do for the day.
Yeah, probably the general store has some mining supplies. So they'll probably know something about that.
That is true.
Actually, I might have passed the land... I guess a land office there. They might have some good maps of the area. Be able again.
Yeah, you saw a sign for an assayer's office. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that would be a good idea.
That is surprising to me.
Yeah, everything you guys see labeled on the map, you know, because it's pretty much a one street town except for that back street, and everything has shingles out front. So, yeah, that's how you know what the buildings are. Okay.
Sounds good.
Are
there signposts up for the graveyard and the church as well?
Yes, church, generic church here. Place to put your dead here.
I would think the tombstones would kind of give it away.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes, but I do not believe we went into the town via the graveyard and church.
No, we came in via the other side. Yeah. Can we know where the gallows are?
That must be somewhere to be. Well, I mean... it might be worth a look at the graveyard to see how often people get killed here. whether there are a lot of recent graves or not. Just so we have an idea, not to unnecessarily...
I'm sure that if you really want that sort of thing, the barber's usually a good source of gossip.
It has been a while since anyone's had a haircut and shave.
Yes, and you all are kind of looking a little scruffy, so...
Eddie always looks a little scruffy.
All right, Eddie, you'll go. I get the hint.
Eddie has 5 o'clock shadow, 4 o'clock shadow, 3 o'clock shadow.
Eddie just has shadow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, unless you have plans for that perfect timing card, I'll take it off you there, Eddie.
That sounds good if I can get back into Fantasy Grounds.
We have yours connected.
Oh, I see the edits you want to make to Eddie there. Yeah, it's fine. The things that you're trying, you want to change haven't come up too much to make things different, so I'm all right with that.
Okay.
Well, there's a gun shop right there, too, if he wants to go talk to someone about a cult.
Sure. I would like to do that.
Isn't it? It is a dusty town.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you that card.
So the waitress, since you guys have checked in for a few days in advance, she's just going to add your meal to the tab, and you can settle up when you leave.
Yeah.
They do not want us to settle up in advance because of the number of deaths in this town.
Apparently not. No. Maybe they just take all the valuables out of your room once you're dead, and they call that even. Who knows?
Well, that is a genuine thing that I would be looking at.
Uh-huh.
This town. Yeah. Okay.
No, she's very casual about it. Just, no, we'll add it to your tab when you check out.
Hmm. Interesting. Actually, I suppose if we all die, they get a fun car thing.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And third, I am playing that card as I mentioned on the thread.
Let's see. Okay, I may have missed the thread.
You didn't miss the thread.
Yep. Actually, if you don't mind, let me go cut up that roast beef. This will give me a chance to look at the thread real quick, and you guys can decide your plan of attack.
Yep. That's fine. I got to step away as well for about a minute or two.
Sure.
No I'll problem. Be right back.
Okay, recording's back on. We're back.
All of that work that we did, we talked about people and gave them shout-outs, and now you're telling us the recording was off for all of it.
That's right. Yep. We'll have to rely on Richard's B-sides. That's right, folks. Go to the forums to get Richard's B-sides.
I'm not certain I want to advertise in that manner. Quite sound right.
All right. So what have you decided upon? This fine morning in this sleepy little town.
Can't even remember. Where are we? What are we doing now?
Eddie's going to the gun shop. We're going to go to the general store and the assayer's office. And then we're going to rob the bank and leave.
All right.
And go to the saloon and the barber shop.
That's before you leave, but after you rob the bank.
Oh, yeah. Got to get a drink and get a bit of a shave. Yeah.
I could rob the bank and then spend some of their money in town.
That's right.
The sheriff wouldn't try and stop us, I'm sure.
Cue Twilight Zone music.
Yeah.
All right. So, once again, it's about 8 o'clock in the morning. Nice little brisk gunfight to start the morning off, but everyone seems to have just fallen right back into business as usual. There's people still on the streets. You're all kind of going together, or are you breaking up separately to go to these different places?
We'll stick together.
Well, when you step out of the front door to the hotel, you're greeted by another very warm day, as it often is here in these parts of California. And Undertaker has, at this point, pounding lids on boxes, and they're getting them put into a back of a horse-drawn cart. Looks like nothing's transpired here. The sawdust street's been covered up. Can't barely see the puddle of blood beneath all that sawdust. And there are 6 guys just kind of standing out front of the general store now. There's several horses outside as well. Once again, just very, very normal seeming setting right now.
So where do we want to go general. First?
From where you're standing, now that you mentioned the bank, you can kind of see this back wall of the bank right here. It has a big, big hole in it. Looks like you might have already been beaten to robbing that bank.
Damn it!
It does not look like it's new, as in it's just happened today or in the last day. It's actually a little weathered now, so it looks like that transpired some time ago.
All right, well, maybe we should go to the assayer's office. This way we pass the bank and we can just verify that it is closed with a big open hole in the wall.
All right. Well, you guys go down the main kind of boardwalk of this town, the main road here. Lots of people kind of crane their necks to look at you. Yeah, new people in town. But apparently there's enough people coming in and out through here. You notice for one, that there is a fairly large building for a stagecoach operation over here. So there must be some fair amount of traffic through. The six men that are standing out in kind of the general store here, two of them tip their hats at you as you walk past. All of them eyeball you quite a bit, but they don't really look threatening.
Yeah, I'll tip my hat to them.
When you pass by the bank, sure enough, there is the door has got planks of wood that's crossed over the front and nailed in, and you see a sign in the window that says "Closed for renovations." The Sayer's office, small affair, one story squat building, glass windows in the front. No one really hanging around outside of here. Door is wide open to let in something of a breeze.
Sounds nice.
Well, let us go inside and take a look.
It is a Sayer's office odd.
I'll give you 1 second here. Let's see. Anything special about
the new combat map and 10 werewolves and 5 giants. Here we go.
Mm-hmm. All right. So on the inside, there's advertisements posted, big letters for those that may have some difficulty reading, spelling out basically what the Assayer and Land Office can do for you here. They do file property claims as well as weighing gold and assaying current values of ghost rock and gold. There's one lone man stooped over with a green visor over his head going through a list of a couple of books. He looks like he does also have a telegraph here. There is a chalkboard behind him where he's keeping track of the current prices of certain material wealth, gold, silver, ghost rock, of course. A few other things that are interest, price of pork and beef currently as well being tracked. There's one guy here, he's looking back and forth between several books. He's got a very heavily ink-stained fingers as he's going from one to other, checking the boards, and every once in a while he looks down at the teletype, which seems to be spewing out reams of paper as he's looking over it and updating his chalkboard. It looks up at you as you come in. Howdy, folks.
Tip my hat.
Yeah. Howdy.
Just one quick minute here. And he makes a few corrections on the prices of things on the board. Looks like Ghost Rock's gone up just a little bit. Gold and silver seem stable.
Sell.
What can I do for you for?
Well, we were wondering if you had any local maps of the maps of the area.
Oh, you looking to buy some property around here? Well, we got a few lots for sale. Come on over. He lifts up kind of the swing arm of his desk, which gives him a way out behind his very cramped desk, and goes over to a cubbyhole that's filled with various maps. He pulls one out. He says, "Oh, this is from the last town census a few years ago. Should be pretty accurate." Lays it down on our table, weighs down each end with coffee mugs. And so on your map here, this is basically the whole town. Out here towards the north are where all the private properties are. And then east and west, out towards the west, there's a very large cattle ranch taking up, you know, a good 40, 50 acres. And out this way is where you rode into town from. Well, we got a few houses that currently vacant that some owners are looking to sell for. What are you looking for? Are you looking for land? Are you looking for property?
You're just looking.
Right. Oh. Oh, well, no need to tell me what your plans are. I understand. He gives a calculated look at you guys, especially since you've got an Indian with you here. Figures, you must be some kind of traveling show, some kind of traveling act. He smiles after he comes to this conclusion in his mind, says, oh, well, the town can always use a bit of entertainment if you folks are looking to set up shop here. Please, he points to his rack of maps. These go into a little bit of finer detail. If you're looking for a particular house here, and he just shows you the key, like, you know, on this big map here, this corresponds to that cubby hole to get you a little bit more zoomed in view. He says, I'll leave you be. If you got a question about a parcel, you just go ahead and ask. People around here call me Pappy.
I have a question about the town.
Oh, it's a wonderful town. Fine town to start a business in.
Well, I mean, we were woken this morning by a gunshot across the way, and on our way here we saw there is a big hole in the bank. Is there a lot of lawlessness here in town?
Well, you know, we got our fair share. It's mostly a quiet town. Every once in a while we got a small dust up in the street. As you notice, it's taken care of pretty quickly. Things get back to normal very well. The bank, it was knocked over a couple of weeks ago. He scratches behind his head. And you know, he's kind of slowly ambling over to cover an area of wall, which at first glance, you know, when you walked in, and it looked like there were some mugshots or posters there, maybe wanted posters. And he's trying his best to walk over and cover up that wall while he's talking to you. You know, just the normal things that happen out here, New Frontier and all. It's a little rowdy every once in a while, but it's a good place for business. Solid, good place for business. You might want to bank elsewhere, but solid place for business.
I want to take a... Anyone is going to take a walk over to that wall and start looking at the people.
All right. He kind of turns to face you so that he's still between you and the wall and just smiles up at you with his, you know, rocking back and forth on his heels and his toes, just whistling a little tune as if there's nothing going on here.
Yeah, I'm assuming we're not up on that wall.
you're going to kind of peer around him. No, you're not. But there is several wanted posters for a game called, apparently they call themselves the Killers of Carcass Creek, with various prices on their heads ranging from $50 alive to $25 dead, or the whole passel for $2,000. Apparently there's 11 members of this gang. They're wanted for murder and theft and carriage jacking.
I'll have to keep my eye out open for these people.
Various crimes against nature.
Is that $2,000 for them alive or for them dead?
It just says for the lot, actually. Doesn't really, if you can get all 11 members, it doesn't seem to clarify between alive or dead.
Do any of them, as far as, you know, we can tell with the fact that they had the masks and stuff, doesn't it look like anyone may have run over yesterday or anything?
Well, one of them was smiling up you with his mask off, so if anyone wants to roll with me, just smart rolls, just flat smart rolls there. You can maybe recollect if his face matched any of these on here.
Well, Eddie and I were on the front, so we'll just give that a quick check.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, not great. He did really well.
I did good.
Yeah, you guys recognize the guy. There's at least one of those guys that you ran through is on the wall here.
Damn it. Did ourselves out of some money because we killed him. Shame.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to say, hey, Luke, look. Remember this guy?
I don't know. What does he look like squashed by a tire?
Yeah, I'm saying, you remember that he was under the tire when you went over him? Yeah.
Draw a 4-inch bar over the middle of his face.
Yeah, I put my hand up there.
That's unfortunate. He's worth a fair amount of money.
Oh, if we get the whole set, then it doesn't matter.
That's true.
Yeah.
You guys aren't on there. Other than the killers of Carcass Creek, there's the three mugshots that you saw from back in Shannonsburg. Copied out again by another hand, so they look a little slightly different than they did before. Where all the distinguishing features are there.
Yeah. Hey, Peppy, do you have any problem with Quan's problems being so close by?
Oh, no. They're good for the comedy. Once in a while, his boys come down, spend a few nights in the saloon. They come out to the general store. They're always ordering up supplies through us. Make use of the stagecoach every now and then. Oh, no, they're good for the local economy. They usually come in groups. They're not very rowdy. They keep to themselves.
Well, that's good to hear.
We got us a translator here when needed, but usually they've got one or two guys that can speak a more civilized tongue. He looks over at young.
I look at the obvious outsider of the Canadian that we have in our midst.
No. He's still white.
Still talks weird and is an obvious outsider. Obvious outsider.
Yeah. Yes. I've got this. I've got the trait. Hindrance outsider.
There you go. But you're not as outsider as a Chinaman, apparently.
Or an Indian.
Yes. Or an Indian. He hasn't commented on savages yet.
Kill the town. Give them everybody time. In the town.
So, on a different topic then, I assume this chap here probably owns the town. They say casually pointing out to where that large parcel of land out to the side where there's a huge amount of acreage is taken up.
All right. He still has a smile on his face, but, you know, lines get a little tight around his eyes. And he says, that's the Creole family. Yeah, you can say that. You can say that. He owns most of the area. He's the big cattle rancher. You had a breakfast over at the Majestic. You've probably eaten his beef.
Most times, like that. We're from Petition down south of it. And yeah, sort of situation down there.
Well, you know how these cattle ranchers are. They need lots of room to move their cattle around. And, well, with all that cattle comes lots of money.
Yeah.
How does he keep them alive? I understand that they do not survive in this area very well.
Oh, his ranch does pretty well. He's got a fair amount of grass growing out that way. We're not completely barren, not like more towards the coast with all that salt air. And I hear they got an awful time trying to go get stuff to grow out there. We do okay here. We even got small patches of garden.
It must be the salt air. That must be it, yes.
Yes.
I'm going to find a chair and sit down. Okay. Put my feet up.
There's a couple. There's some wooden back rickety chairs. You can do so. Doesn't seem to mind. He says, "Well, feel free to look through the maps there. As I said, if you got some property you want to look at, you just let me know. I'll let you know what the loan prices are and who to contact."
Maps of the post piles themselves.
Oh, that's a. Well, the town doesn't rightly own that territory, but yeah, I've got some maps out here. There's some survey work done by the military not too long ago. Yeah, here we go. About 6-7 years. Should be pretty accurate. Okay. And he makes a little, that's an interesting place there. All kinds of stories and tales being told.
Such as?
Every once in a while, there's a queer light that comes out of that area, kind of a green miasm, just a mist that shrouds that area. And there's a lake out there that, Carcass Creek gets its headways over there, and there's a pool where the water, of course, flows out through the town. Heck, the wells here even tap out of it, and water's fine down this way, but, there's a small watering hole where it pools up there near the post piles, and every critter that drinks from it just dies on the spot. That's why it got its name, Carcass Creek. Carcasses and bones piled 10-20 high all around this watering hole.
The dead do not get up and walk again? We have heard legends.
You're one of them.
Oh, good joke there, Young. Good joke.
Yeah. You're one of them Penny Dreadful writers, are you? That kind of stuff might go over pretty well in this town. There's all kinds of superstitions about that place. People say that whenever someone dies, that green light I was talking about can be seen there the next night. Walking Dead. Tonight, that's a good one.
Yeah, there should be one there tonight, then.
Yeah, so there's somebody killed this morning, so there should be green lights over there tonight.
Well, yeah, that's what the local lore says.
I thought he said that if they drink the water and die.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but the local legend says that when people die in this town, or
anybody dies in this town,
there's a light that comes the next night. They say it's the devil pulling another soul down to hell.
Yes.
We ain't got too many angels around here. You can bet if you end up dying here, you're going to the bad place.
Really?
Well, nobody sure.
In this town is a
only bad folk you killed.
That is not my experience. The good die young.
Well, one would hope in not quite so messy ways as a gunfight.
Depends who they get caught between. Too bad. Yeah, I do not usually care about who is in the middle of their own feud.
He nods. I'm
kind of believing that the chap who died this morning was a good person.
He nods to your very sage advice. But sure, yeah, there's once again a military assayer's map of the post pile area.
Mm-hmm. So I'll take a good look around it, so I have some idea about where I'm going when you head out there.
Yep. It's up elevation, beginning of where it starts to get a little mountainous, and Carcass Creek runs down through the mountains, pools somewhere, you know, lower areas of the post piles. A stream comes down through back into town. It probably goes pretty deep if he's saying that the wells here tap from that water.
I would like to try something, if you do not mind, Mr. Azair, or Pappy. That's your name, yes?
Pappy, that's what they call me.
Okay. I break out the stick, and I wave it over the map, just to see if it's any good at detecting on the map itself.
Your stick just does a thing where it kind of jerks in a couple of different directions and just kind of lays still in your hand after a bit.
Mm-hmm. So it's not pointing anywhere at all at the moment?
No.
Huh. That's odd.
Well, maybe it gets tired and needs a nap.
Well, there we go. That is interesting.
Well, is that a dowsing rod? You guys out here, like I said, biggest source of water here is out from Carcass Creek. Don't know that you'll find any other.
But you said that was poisoned, yes?
Well, no, just the pool there at the post piles. Like I said, the river itself, as it comes out this way, we tap into it. The water's fine. So Creole Ranch waters all their water the cows with it. It's fine.
So something cleans the water as it leaves the pool?
Must be, or there's something in the pool itself that's not too good for a man or beast.
But
have you been up there?
Come down with the water?
Well, I'm not a scientific man, but I tell you, it's clean. If you've had coffee or tea at the Majestic, you've already had it.
There's one we all turn into a spit take.
I fight Eddie for the quick funeral card so that I will survive drinking the tea.
Oh, I saw your post on the Fantasy Grounds. Now, I'm going to assume that everyone remembers to bleed on their stick, okay? It's just that it's not working for whatever reason right now.
There's plot reasons. Let's happen to our plot.
Okay. Well,
there you go. So we'll spend probably a little bit of time exploring over the map and getting a good idea about where we're going.
Yeah. Yep.
And then we leave this place from other places.
Beginnings of the area that's been dubbed the Post Files is about five, six miles outside of town. Terrain gets a bit rockier, a bit greener, actually. See, there's more shrub grass it's actually mapped out on here showing you variations of vegetation. So it's not a completely desolate place. And... Quan's province is a good couple miles to the east south. Of it.
Oh,
well, south and east. South. Yeah, south and
southeast.
East.
Yeah.
Well, just before we leave, turn to Womitai and ask her, you have not heard any legends from your people about this area? You know, looking at the map does not remind you of the post piles in the shape of a skull legend that you have heard of in your childhood? Nothing like that?
She shakes her head and says, these aren't my people's hunting grounds. Other people are here. I'm not sure. GM doesn't quite sure what tribe would be in this area, but not hers. So she doesn't, okay. Yeah.
The tribe of Sir not appearing in this scene. Yeah.
She just says everybody must die. You're all white men.
All right. Well, we've been up this side of the street, so we'll go down the other side of the street.
All right. Head back over to the gun shop.
No.
Yeah. The general store.
We are currently over here, so we'll go over here and then walk down this side and go in.
Actually, we
were been to the sheriff's.
You were over here.
We're in the sales office.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're going down the other street. Just as we pass the sheriff's office, just peer at the walls to see if there's a big hole in the jail wall.
There's not, but through the glass, you can see the form of one person. You know, once again, it's that mottled glass, so you don't have a really good, sight inside. But there's a silhouette of somebody that's feet up on the desk, leaned back in the chair, and you can clearly hear the sound of snoring. Coming out of the doors.
Yeah, figured.
Just walk on past.
Just walk on.
Just walk on, not worth stopping.
Nope.
All right, so out front, six guys, this kind of hanging around front. A couple of them are tossing cards into a hat. A few others are rolling up cigarettes. several of them smile and nod at you. Many others just kind of look at you deadpan. All of them have gunslinger belts, kind of low on their hips, slung. They look like they might be ranch hands of some sort, but know their way around a pistol, like most able-bodied men do.
Don't look like the killers of Carcass Creek?
No, none of these guys were. Yep.
All right, well, we'll nod to them and go into the store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no one really blocks your way or anything. They just give you a good eye. Up and down. A couple of them seem to be friendlier than others, but no one really stops you. Inside, general store is pretty crowded. It's clean. It's a bit dark, as there are not a lot of windows or panes of glass in here. And there's a counter at the south end of the large room. There appears to be an argument going on with someone and the proprietor. You're catching a little bit of as you're walking in. There's a very young woman, short, kind of darkish red hair, who's kind of standing with her arms on her hips as she's speaking. Her tone is sharp, but her speech is trying to be at least a little polite. So you're overhearing, Mr. Crehoe, I've told you. You and your men can shop at my store if you insist, but you get no credit. I make no special orders. I don't particularly want your money, and I don't want anything to do with you. You, sir, are not welcome here. And the man speaks. He's got kind of a deep, gravelly voice. Now, Miss Roundhill, it is Miss, isn't it? I was so sorry to hear about your late fiancé, Miss Roundhill. You are no one to tell me what I can and can't have. I take what I want in this town. You should be appreciative that I'm willing to give you money for it. And that's kind of what you hear as you walk in.
Right.
So this is a tall man. He's older, gray-haired, well-made clothes. It's a little weather-beaten. Next to him is a very stocky, shorter man. He's got a stovetop pipe hat on, the Lincoln hat kind of thing on. He's got a corncob pipe shoved in his mouth, putting off a pretty foul-smelling tobacco. And as you come in, he turns to look at you, and his left eye is replaced with what looks like a steel ball bearing. It just kind of rolls around in his skull as he looks at you. Cracks a smile on his face and exposing these tobacco-stained, cracked front teeth. And as I said, it's kind of crowded. There are a lot of people kind of looking around. The place is shell. Every available space is filled with something, either hanging from the ceilings, tacked to the walls, put on shelves or tables, just every manner of thing you can think of. Foodstuff, mining supplies, a little bit of everything. Fancy clothes, not so fancy clothes.
I'm just going to walk around, browsing, see if I could hear anything. Okay. Nod to him.
All right, yeah, like I said, yeah, there's several people around, kind of trying to ignore the commotion that's going on up front. And as you guys come in, the tall older man kind of turns around, sees new people in town. He smiles, tips his hat at everybody, says, "Howdy."
Howdy. Howdy. Mm-hmm.
And he turns back to the shopkeeper, and he pulls out a pocket watch. Everybody give me...
Notice roll.
Yeah, notice rolls.
Can I give you a memory roll? Because I remember what it represents from the last time. The character suddenly gains the knowledge of stuff that was happened when he was an orc in a previous life.
You're an orc? Okay, I don't remember what you were.
Yeah.
I haven't re-listened to that game, so I don't remember a lot of the details.
Yeah. Well, I never posted it, so you may have your own
copy. I got my own copy of it somewhere, I think.
Yeah, you posted it up. I remember now that you put up your copy. Mm-hmm.
All right, looks like everybody except for Young actually noticed. When he pulls out the pocket watch, the woman behind the counter, just her face goes from being kind of, you know, just flushed from having this heated exchange and, you know, eyes being very hot and sharp, to just suddenly her face goes just white. And you just kind of see everything, just all the expression drain out of her face and eyes as she's staring at this pocket watch. He looks at it. He checks the time. And he throws down just a bundle of cash on the counter. He smiles at everybody as he kind of strolls out.
Go over to her. You're right there, ma'am.
She takes the stash of bills, puts it in the cash register, and looks up at you and says, "Oh, I'm all right. I'm all right. What can I find for you today?"
"Oh, we just arrived in town yesterday, and we're just looking around the place.
Carry many things here. This is about everything I can get my hands on. We occasionally even get orders from that Gadgeteer magazine that's been making its rounds. Points out to some interesting gear on one wall that seems to be mostly photographic equipment, like new cameras, lenses, spy glasses, that sort of thing. A couple of steam-powered who's-a-ma-jigs. you're not sure what." And she says, "Well, if you're looking to resupply yourselves, we can do that." She nods to the lady and says, "If you're looking for a nice dress or two, we can manage that as well."
"Well, we were looking to do some resupply and also to just find a few things about the town. As I said, we're new here. Just got into town.
Not to be impolite, but hope you're not staying. This is... not that I don't like your custom. I'm glad to help you out and glad to take your money. It's just not a very pleasant place to be in." Shakes her head.
"I think it was that chap was Mr. Creole, where his name is. He seems to think he runs the place."
"Well, practically speaking, he does run the place. He owns most of things here about. Man with the most money. You know how it is."
Mm-hmm.
She shakes her head and says, "Well, yeah, it's a problem, that's for sure. Our do-nothing sheriff has done nothing. I suppose at least he pays for now," as he finishes counting out the bills and putting it in the register.
"That is a blessing."
She takes a good look at the group again, says, "So, you entertainers?" Well, your group is pretty motley. You one of those vaudeville acts?
No, man. Just passing through.
You probably heard us coming yesterday on the... we're here with a car.
Oh, was that your clatter? Yeah.
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 Need some coal for the place. I assume they'll be coming to you for the coal.
Yeah, of course. I'm mostly the go-to place around here, unless you need a coffin or a gun. I sell a few, but we got a right proper gun shop in town here that'll sight it in and do some modifications for it. He's a pretty good hand at that. She laughs at that. She slaps her thighs. I'm sorry, I'm just making a joke. Old Cletus has only got one hand, you see.
No.
What does she look like? Is she small?
Yeah, she's very short. She's like barely 5 feet.
All right. Modern describe her as a halfling.
Yeah. No. Halflings are much shorter than that. Yeah, she looks to be early 20s, maybe.
So who's going to play the love interest card?
Are you actually going to play it?
Yeah.
And who are you playing it on?
Yeah.
All right, so you're playing it. Luke is playing it on her. Okay.
Yes.
All right, so she's okay. Well, so she takes a looking.
If
over
you want,
you and...
it could be that we did know each other before she hooked up with her fiance, so it doesn't seem so ghoulish.
No. What'll happen is, so she pegs you as being some kind of vaudeville act, and she points to the Indian and says, "Well, I can figure what your talents are," and looks over to the Chinaman and how's Young dressed? And just in general, how does Young dress?
He's in a robe. It's not a particularly good robe right now.
Okay.
He's
You're
got
probably, a dragon
on it? This one doesn't.
Yeah. You're probably a what do they call them? Tumbler? Acrobat?
Yes, maybe.
Points over.
Well, I do have a couple of gold rings.
Uh-huh. Points over the lady.
I will call you
says,
Mandarin.
Many rings of power. Points over at the lady of the group and says, "You're a singer."
There's two ladies of the group.
Well, points over at Sarah. She already pointed at the Indian and said, "Well, you know, know what you probably do."
The Indian doesn't count as a lady. Fine, we understand.
Yeah.
Sorry, are you a singer?
No. We're just sort of boon companions for a while. And I travel with them because it's there is safety in numbers.
Oh, I see. Manager. Points at Eddie. You're the gun shot, right? You're the trick shooter of the group.
Tip my hat to her.
And then she looks over at Luke. Looks up. Luke's a tall guy, right?
I think he is tall, but he's quite thin. He doesn't have a lot of strength.
Yeah. So she looks up at Luke into his. What color are Luke's eyes?
His goggles. Look into his goggles.
Look into the cat's eyes. It falls on another dragon.
Is dragon on your shoulder?
Yeah, of course.
All right. And she looks up and she says, she looks at your goggles, you know, and the grease stains on your helmet and everything. You some kind of trick rider? Some kind of stunt man? Oh, she looks at your cat, puts down a bowl of cream on the desk. Dragon hops down. She starts petting Dragon's head. That's it. You played it for Dragon. Dragon starts purring as she's scritching him and puts out the milk for him. I'm sorry. She looks over at Sarah and says, I understand if you all aren't going to perform in such a small town, of course. And I don't worry. I won't say anything. So how long you staying? She looks up at Luke.
We've got some business out here. Just I plan on going to the post piles, actually. Don't think it'll be that long, but yeah, we plan on going out there.
Nasty place. If you're sightseeing, there's some far better places than that around here.
Really? Anywhere you can recommend?
Well, I've got some really great art at my house.
That's what they call it these days.
Yes,
come I'm something of a collector. You know, this is my grandpa ran this
place.
Come and
see my etchings.
Yes. The etchings. No, my grandpa ran this place, and over time I've collected a fair many portraits and paintings that have come through. Some new names in art from out west. I'm sure they stack up just fine to get some of the masters. Not that this place has much in the way of culture, but I try. We have a group that comes through, and we talk about such things in my parlor every once in a while.
Oh, I can't say I'm much of a connoisseur, but I do like to look at beautiful things.
Right. So, some other customers come up, and you know, she basically does some commas for a while before coming back to you after some people are out of town have left.
Is anything interesting being sold here? I mean, that they buy.
Mostly just general supplies, lots of tools like shovels and picks. Apparently, there's a mine in the area, as you know, there is a large section of mining supplies here.
Do we have lamps and stuff of our own?
I don't believe so.
Well, there we go. There's something we need to get.
Yep. She's got carbide lamps for, you know, miners, headlamps, yeah. You know.
Especially if we didn't actually say anything, but we may want to have a check around certain, see if certain legends are true or not. There may be something we want to do about that.
Oh, yeah. You're saying this out loud.
Well, yeah, trying to be quietly saying to the crew about other, but she's probably close by. Yeah. This thing.
She shakes her
head. Trying to be subtle about it, but, you know, as far as I can.
Also, you've already heard some of the local legends, I hear, I guess. It doesn't take long, I suppose. People around here like to spread gossip.
Oh, we like to hear gossip, you know. It's always good stories to be heard, and I know what's going on.
Well, what have you heard?
Just a few things so far about the Carcass Creek, I believe it's called.
All right. Yeah, she, you know, her expression, it's just, you know, she's apparently very quick to outbursts. She gets very heated, like her cheeks and skin get very red when you say this. And she says, and she spits on the ground and says, those murdering swine, the ones that killed my fiance. Hmm? Only time they ever robbed a stagecoach happened to be the one he was on.
These would be the killers of Carcass Creek?
Yeah, something of a plague in this area. They don't generally stop our stagecoaches. They're usually fairly well armed.
They didn't manage to stop me. We ran over them on the way into town. Well, there's only three of them. There's only a few of them, but I can't actually remember if we did actually run over them or not. We just spooked the horses off.
Oh, you ran over one of them.
Yeah.
You spooked the horses of two of the other two.
Oh, the other two, yeah. So, yeah.
Well. Well, you know, they got a bounty on their heads. You can probably collect for the one if you can prove it.
Still, if it's still there, yeah. I don't know if you'll still be there or not.
Wish somebody would take care of them.
Oh, there's one down. Yeah. That's a start.
Yep. Them and the Creos are about the two largest plagues anybody could wish on a place if they wishing malice on a person. This place would be a lot nicer. Probably be a lot more people living here if it weren't for both of them.
Well, as you say, sooner or later you end up with a large, wealthy landowner in a place. We've been to a few towns where that happens. I can't remember the name of the person down in Perdition, though we managed to stop him. What was his name?
Which Perdition? This Perdition?
The actual
Perdition.
This isn't Perdition. This is Camden. What are you talking about?
What was I thinking?
Yeah. He died and we helped the son to regain his place. And
yeah, the Kurtzes.
Kurtzes, that's it. Creoles, Curtis, anyone with a K sound at the beginning of their name is in trouble. Just kill them all.
Hard consonants get you killed.
Yeah.
So, what would be your interest in the post piles? You don't believe that old Indian legend, do you?
Which one's that one? We've hit a few.
Oh, well, they say that it used to be a burial ground of some sort, and if you bury your kin or dead animal, that it'll rise again the next night.
That doesn't sound good.
Well, you know how these tales are.
Eyeing Weematai out of the corner of my eye to see how she's directing to this.
Yeah, she's just nodding like, yep, that sounds about right. Indian burial ground.
Nobody looks at Sarah at all.
What? Why would anyone look at Sarah?
No, she says, with as many people getting themselves dead around here, you'd figure we'd have a plague of these walking people back up and hale and healthy again, so I wouldn't put much stock into those old legends.
Oh, we just got some surveying what to do. We're looking for signs of interesting geological activity, as it were.
You use some of the... Yeah, there's a community not too far from here of a bunch of science-minded folk. They'd probably be a place to stop in at if you're trying to do that kind of thing. I'm not much into it myself, but I understand the generals of it and all. A few years back, the military came through here and did a bunch of reading and map-making, and I believe the Sayers office has got some copies of those. You might want to check with old Pappy there. He might be able to help you out.
Yeah, we've had a look at that place, yeah. So now we're taking in the town.
Well, not much to take in. Old main road, we got us a pretty decent barber. His hands shake a little bit, but don't you worry. He's never killed anyone yet.
Is that why he's out front of the undertaker's place?
Well, now, he's an interesting man. Mumbles a bit, and you can't quite understand him. He's one of the mountain folk. Got their own odd dialect, but he's does a brisk business out this way. And, of course, if you're looking to get anywhere in relative safety, we've got stagecoach and wagon over here. Not too much else. Town's big enough that we got a mayor. Yeah, he's the last house on the right as you're heading up through town. If you all are looking to do any trade, we got us a warehouse now. It's owned by a spinster that makes a little bit of rent off of storing goods for people. Not much else. Not much in the way of entertainment anyway. We got a saloon. Occasionally we'll attract a piano player or two. A couple of years back, they ordered one of them player pianos from me. Nice piece of equipment.
Actually, Bert, what skill does playing a piano come under? Perform?
Yeah, probably.
There's a perform in noir, but I don't think there's anything specific here. It might just be a persuasion thing to persuade them how good you are.
I can see it being smart.
I think there is a skill of some sort for, in general, just in performing.
As I said, there's a perform skill in Deadlands Noir, but there's nothing specific in any of the other settings that I've come across. Although I've been looking for perform skills for other reasons.
I suppose you could take it as a knowledge skill, or just simply put it in your background that you could play piano, and then depending what you wanted to do, I would buy using a persuade role to persuade the crowd into a better spirit of some sort. I think the closest Deadland comes to is they got tale telling, which is kind of an art, but that's about it. But I'm fine with anybody saying if their character just is able to, you know, have some kind of dancer or playing an instrument sort of skill, that's fine.
I can blow a mean harmonica.
Juice harp.
The old jug gets a bit of a workout.
Well, she says, well, I close up shop about 4 o'clock. I'd be glad to show you folk around. As she looks at Luke when she says this. if and you need a little local color to show you around.
Oh, that sounds mighty fine there. This, I'm Luke Villeneuve, by the way. Call me Luke.
I'm pleased to meet you. I'm Caledonia Roundhill.
That's right. Take your hand and kiss the back of it.
There is a quick blush there. These are working woman's hands, so.
I've got working man's hands.
That's right.
Yeah. Now, come along, Dragon.
Yeah, he's like, what? No! I like it here. Yep, take your cat back.
Yep.
And she says, let's see. Yeah, so, where have you all come from recently?
We're at a community of scientists.
Oh, you're already out there.
We've been traveling up and down the coast, mainly.
Well, how things been in Shannonsburg? I may have to make a trip down there at some time and engage the services of a proper lawman or lawyer, I'm thinking.
Oh, we can recommend someone, his name? I forget his name off the top of my head. It was
Barry Milhouse.
What
was that? I could not
remember. Yes. Well, I'm sure there'll be plenty of lawyers there willing to line up to help a beautiful lady like yourself.
Well, I hope so. She shakes her head and she says, I need something, someone who's willing to go up against Creo.
Really? What happened?
What?
Well, other than the fact that he, as I said, he tries to run this town, he's trying to run me out of business. And that watch he was flashing around, that was my pappy's. That was buried with him. I can't prove it, and I don't think that he's the kind of man that would do any corpse looting, but that's my pappy's watch, and I buried it with him.
Yeah.
There is nothing on the watch which would prove it was yours?
On the inside cover, there's his initials are etched into it. He didn't open it towards me, so I didn't get a good look, but I could swear that's my pappy's.
Could you not then? Well,
no. Well, you've seen the law around here.
Having seen the law, yes. Yeah. I can't see what you not wish to be doing.
It's got the initials LR, Lucan Roundhill. He died about 2 months ago, left this place to me. Creo's been on me since then to buy me out or have me extend so much credit to him that would ruin me.
If I may ask a somewhat delicate question then, have you been to your father's grave recently?
Of course. I go and sit by his stone every week or so, have a little chat. Not that he answers me back.
Well, there's been no sign that anyone's disturbed it or anything to get out of the watch.
No. We've got a good church here.
I can name
here
a few fellas I know who wouldn't be above a few bit of grave robbing to give themselves some positions to sell.
That is not us.
The cemetery is cared for by a local church, and pastor of the church is a pretty fiery woman who is pretty protective over her flock, both living and dead. I can't see that she'd let any kind of that trouble take place there.
I'm just seeing the reviving water from Camp Creek sort of receiving to the water table around the town, and just the whole cemetery sort of rises up now that we arrived.
Let's see, Preacher Amanda Cole. That's it.
Hmm.
Mandan, the sheriff, used to have a thing once upon a time, before he took to the bottle anyway. So she's pretty strong with the whole anti-booze movement. What do they call those people?
Prohibitionist temperance people?
Temperance, that's it. Prohibition is nowhere near. Temperance, yeah. Temperance movement, that's it. She hasn't been able to convince too many people in this community to join, seeing as that's one of the few entertainments that can be found.
Is there a reason the sheriff gave in so wholeheartedly?
It's tough to say. It may have just been the pressure of the job and so many of his men getting killed. He used to be a fine man.
He lost a lot of people?
Well, he's the only sheriff in town who's not got a deputy. His last deputy got killed a couple of weeks ago.
He's the only sheriff in town without a deputy.
Well, he's the only lawman in town. He's the only lawman in town.
I'm sorry. It is not my native language. I am. And who is killing these people then?
Well, not that anyone could prove it, but it's most of Creo's boys. Somebody robs them the wrong way or decides not to sell, and they want them to sell. Well, they end up dead. No one around here has been able to press any charges, or when they do, sheriff isn't willing to round them up.
Perhaps we need the sheriff of perdition up here as well.
Clean up another town, Pete.
This just sounds like this is not good. Is he at least offering to pay you a fair price for your store?
For my store? Yeah. He is. But I'm not going to sell to the likes of him. The store was started by my pappy. He handed it to me, and it's my duty to keep it going. That, and it's how I make my living.
Good for you.
I know. I mean, if I had another buyer came through that... basically anybody but Creo, I'd probably sell, but I'm not selling to that bastard. He owns too much of this town as it is.
Huh.
Sometimes a woman's just got to put her foot down and say, no, not my place and not today. I'm sure it'll get me a bullet in the head before too long, but...
So what's the asking price on the store?
Oh, I don't know. Creo's offered me $500. I suppose it's fair. If you inventory here is mostly workaday stuff. I've got a few nice items, but it's a fair price. If it wasn't just such a devil of a man, I'd probably do it.
Huh. Oh, I've got a bad thought. You know, we could, Luke, can I speak with you for a moment?
Fortunately, you can just blame this on the Manitou. You got a mischief Manitou.
You know, we could, this would be a very interesting investment. We could buy this place and have Miss Roundhill manage it for us.
What would we do as a general store?
Oh, no. It's very simple. We buy the place, we would get Miss Roundhill to manage it for us, and provide just a certain percentage of the profits to us.
We could do. Or should we have to take some money, but, yeah.
It would take some money, but then she could tell him where she could tell Creo where to go and how to get there, and basically say that my employer says no.
And then he can come and have words with us, and that might be the end of that matter.
Yeah.
I don't happen to have $500 on me, though.
No. But if we pulled our, if we all pulled our money,
Andy will nonchalantly walk up and say, "You know, I got a good chunk from that race."
Yes, and I got a good chunk from the Kuma tank.
Yeah, I don't got nothing. I'd spent all my Ghost Rock money, which is way more than this thing has got, and I got no other money except my residual salary.
And that guy needs to die.
What?
Why?
Stealing her grandpappy's watch. That's not right.
No, it's not right at all.
As I said, there's lots of possibilities around that. There's could have, when I was in the army, there's a lot of people who loot your corpse without even waiting for you to finish with your death rattle. The fact that they have people in the ground, it just makes it easier.
Well, let's see. You know, I guess the Majestic, is that the best restaurant in town?
It's the only restaurant in town.
Okay.
And the saloon is pretty much it. Yeah. Choices for food or anything.
Yeah, so, Miss Roundhill, would you maybe care to join us for dinner tonight at the hotel?
Well, yeah, I'd be glad to. Like I said, I usually lock my doors at 4, so say 7?
Luke, does that work for you?
Yes. Certainly. You've plenty enough time.
I'm thinking somebody needs to guard the general store.
Yeah.
I suspect there will be problems. Are the people who are outside... I look outside. Are the people still there?
Nope, they've gone.
Huh.
Yes, there's going to be problems.
He hasn't done anything so far. I don't see why he's going to suddenly start doing stuff now.
Are you guys discussing this out in the open so she can hear what you're saying?
I guess we are, yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
she says, oh, there's no fear of that. He wants the store and he wants the goods in it. He's not going to do anything like burn it down. At the end of the day, he's a businessman. He may not like me, and I certainly don't like him, but he's not going to do anything that's going to harm his profits.
And what if he can't get his profits?
Well, like I said, I expect it. Some morning I'll have a bullet put through my head in that main street, like what happened today. Some group of strangers just came out early this morning, riled up some of his boys, and shot dead in the street.
That was just a stranger passing through town?
Yep. And apparently they started some dust up with some of Creho's boys outside. You might have seen them hanging around when you came in.
Sounds like a complete idiot. Hi, Nick!
Eddie feels like he wants a fight.
Sarah's taking a bit of a dislike to the guy anyway.
Okay, let's have dinner after 4.
It's 7.
That's 7 whatever. Tonight. Yep.
Whatever.
Yeah. Well, what do you do till then? That's the question.
Barber, saloon, and gun shop.
Still got plenty of places to go, and if it's that close, we can just take the speed wagon out there to the post pass during the day and have a look.
I would say barber, gun shop, then saloon last.
Yep.
Are you saying something about the state of our hair?
Yeah.
She has been.
Actually, yeah.
You guys have been looking a little scruffy lately. All right. Well, you said barber first. Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Right down the road.
It's a one-man operation, but he's got a few chairs set up. So if two at a time, he'll take you and start trimming you. He's an elderly man. He goes by the name of Groat. He offers a shave, and he's got a bath in the back. And basically, it's like a public bath sort of place. Which is kind of nice for, so you can have a bath in the back and you can come up front and have a shave when you're done. He does kind of have shaky hands as he's sharpening up and stropping the razor blade. You notice that his hands are kind of shaking a palsy. as he approaches your neck with it.
Shaving a haircut, 2 bits.
Yeah, but yeah, his hand though, it's very steady once he starts shaving off your whiskers. It just that moment before, as he's coming at you with that blade, you wonder if you're going to make it out of that chair alive.
Yeah, Eddie can handle a little Nick. It's not a problem.
Well, we do have the quick funeral card, so you may not be able to notice. So.
Yeah, it's, a little it's Nick, not yeah. a problem. Yeah, not we'll a call, problem at all.
Call that arterial bleeding, but no. No, he does a fine job. He does a fine job. What's that, Richard?
I'm just curious how he's doing us two at a time when there's only him in the shop.
He's got two chairs, and he just, you know, he basically works on one, then goes over and works on the other. So like he gives you the hot towel, lays it on your face while he's working on the other guy, and then comes over and he just works between the two of you.
I was imagining him dual wielding.
razor blades. Yep, he's got an old. He's got an old Victrola playing some ragtime tunes in the background, kind of low as he's working. The guy's also apparently half blind as he kind of feels around your face to make sure he's got everything. But even so, he's pretty expert at what he does. He slaps some manly smelling cologne on you afterwards.
All right, I'm done. Next.
All right. The saloon was your next stop?
Yes. Yeah.
Unless he has gossip for us, because that was part of the reason we were coming in.
He actually doesn't talk very much while he's going. He seems to be, once again, a little poor in the eyesight, a little poor in the hearing. He mumbles himself a lot to himself, and you're the only customers in this early. Do you have something, Sharon?
Oh, yeah. After the barbershop, the gun shop.
Oh, the gun shop. All right.
Yep.
It's a long-armed gun shop, ran by an elderly one-armed gunslinger by the name of Cleanus. He's got a big mustache. As you come in, it's one of these handlebar mustache jobs that are very tightly greased. He's got kind of a grimace on his face as he's looking down the barrel of a shotgun with he's holding it with one arm. He's got the swab in the other in his mouth. he's swabbing out the shotgun with this wire, you know, bristle in his mouth, and he's holding it with his other hand as you walk in. He spits the bristle out on the countertop. He looks up at you with kind of a evil expression on his face. He says, "What do you want?" He slams the shotgun breech closed and kind of sights down it at you guys.
Actually, this is the guy I'm thinking of now. Put him to the Skype chat.
Yeah. All right, that'll do. So he just kind of barks out at you. What do you want? He's got he's eyeballing down the shotgun barrel at the group in general.
Eddie will slowly pull out one of his Colts and sight down it and say, "Looking for a Colt."
We got a few. Here, lay that over here. Let me take a look at it. Is this
it's a trademark weapon.
It's your trademark weapon. All right.
Yeah,
he picks it up with his good hand. He opens the breech, takes a look down it, spins it against his leg, sights down it. He does a little twirl with it. He's checking it for balance. He says, it's got some good work done to it. Well, he looks at the wall. He goes under his desk and he pulls out a drawer. And the drawer's got some really nice-looking handguns in it. You've got some displayed on the walls that aren't nearly this nice. They're just kind of, you know, just average guns. But after you showing him yours, he pulls out the drawer of good stuff.
Okay. Do any of them feel better than mine?
None of them feels, since yours was custom made for you, none of them feels, just right, you know, and he kind of notices that you're kind of hefting it, and he says, "I can modify any of those for, you know, your particular, sighting if you want. This is some good work on yours here, but I warrant I can do better."
I'd like to see you try.
You pick out one of those guns then. You know, the prices he's got on them are, you know, a little high, but not too bad, not too bad.
Well, I mean, I got money now,
mm-hmm.
so
You pick out one that's same model as the one you've got now. same size. Heft's a little bit different. And he says, "Well, if you want a matched pair, you're gonna have to leave me your gun."
Said, "I don't go anywhere without a gun. I'll leave mine here if I can take one in return."
He points at the wall. He's like, "Yeah, just take one off the wall there."
I'll pick one that feels decent.
Yeah. He says, "Don't worry. They may all look not so pretty on the outside, but they shoot just fine. I wouldn't sell a gun that doesn't shoot straight."
All right. So how long is it going to take? Because I got a feeling I might be in trouble tomorrow.
Come pick it up this evening.
Tomorrow, try today or this evening.
He says, "I close up at 5. Come by then. I'll have it ready."
All right.
What the heck?
I'll be here at 5.
All right.
Afraid Sharon is, Sarah is making unladylike noises.
Oh. All right. Scram, let me get to work. Unless the rest of you looky-loos are looking for guns.
I'm looking down the barrel of a gun at this point because I have no shooting. So I'm just picking up and looking over.
Does he only have, basically long guns or large guns? Does he have any, pocket pistols?
You ask?
Yeah.
Yeah, he pulls out another drawer from underneath. Apparently all the good stuff is kept locked up. And he's got a selection of small guns. We call them holdout guns or clutch guns, which, would fit in a purse. He's actually got some fancy ones, like hidden guns that have just one shot, holdout weapon sort of things.
Derringers and the like.
Yep.
As well.
Mm-hmm.
Little one that fits into a belt buckle.
Yeah. It's this is my gambler's drawer. Get a few card sharps around that need something concealable. They're not looking to have a prolonged gunfight, just a shot or two. I've got a nice derringer here. He hands you one. This is a proper lady's weapon, one that knows how to shoot, that is.
Okay. Is it nicer than the one I have?
Yeah. Yeah, it's he's done some work to it. It's balanced well, well cared for. He says, once again, I don't shoot anything that doesn't shoot straight.
Okay. All right. Do you see how much is this one?
Oh, let's see. We'll go 20% over retail from the library. Let's see. Player's guide, gear and goods. Let's see. Weapons. Ranged weapons. Okay. So, Derringer. $8, so...
$10.
I call it $10. $10 for the gun.
$10 for the gun, and... All right, do you also take weapons in trade with, price as well?
Let me see what you got. Would you already have a Derringer?
Yeah, I've got the standard stock.
Goes, well, he takes a look at it and says, "Well, if you'd rather, if you've gotten used to this, I can just make some modifications for it. Say $4. I can straighten it out a bit. Looks like it needs a little bit of care here. I can do a little work on this, and it'll shoot a little truer than it does now."
Okay. Yeah, I'd really like for you to do that.
All right. Yeah. Just leave it with me. It just needs a little small amount of work. I can get it to you the same time your friend is ready.
That would sound great.
All right. Yep. Yeah, he takes it.
Okay. All right. I'm not parting with my shotgun. So.
Yeah. That's quickly becoming a trademark weapon for you. Anybody else? You can let me get to work now.
No, I'm not sure what I got. Alexei's got anything big you could... you got anything that could fit easily to a car?
Car? You want it mounted onto the car?
Yeah.
Huh. Well, I suppose there are some military pieces. Got nothing like that around here. He's dressed. Right,
just asking.
Now, you bring me one, and I would consider that a challenge, sir. His eyes light up at the thought of the carnage that might cause.
Yeah, maybe, but not today. Not today.
That'd break his little heart.
He's mumbling to himself, that might be worth risking the other hand for. Yeah.
Well, if we can't get the gun fitted to the to the boat, then we know where to come to get it put on the car.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, saloon.
All right. Yeah. So you spent, you spent a good couple hours at this point between the barber shop and haggling with the gun owner. Saloon. This old One Eyes. Right now, the player piano is going on in the background. There's several men already, so we're 8, 9, 10. We're almost at noon. So people are in, already having drinks. There's several tables of poker being played. And there's a large, distinguished by how ugly he is, man behind the counter. He's got kind of a scraggly bit of hair on his head. The rest of his head looks like he might have been attacked by a horde of fleas at some point. He's got these big, fat, sausage-like fingers. He's spitting on the glasses and wiping them off with a cloth as you walk in.
Just love it when they do that.
Yeah. Got to clean that cloth somehow.
Yep.
Yeah.
As he turns around to see the new people in, and he notices his right eye and how the place got its name is, the eye is, Sarah would know the eye is probably missing, from some damage done later in life as the eyelid's been kind of, sewn shut over it, to basically cover the hole.
Oh, speaking of eyes, quick question to Sarah. Have you seen anything like that ball bearing steel eye that dwarf type guy had back in the general store?
As a battlefield surgeon, you've seen prosthetics before. That's a new one on you, but not unheard of.
Okay.
Especially since we've even got steam powered prosthetics in this world, so so unusual, but not unheard of.
Yeah, it's unusual, but it could happen.
Yeah, I didn't really see anything like it myself.
All right, so yeah, it's a little rowdy in here now. Lots of people already started drinking, and not even noon yet, getting liquid lunch. Several poker games are just being played out. The player piano in the background is quite loud, drowning out the din of several conversations. Everyone kind of stops and turns to look at the newcomers. It's like,
even the player piano stops.
It's kind of a lull in conversation as everyone's head turns towards the new people, and then it starts back up again.
Tip the hat and walk up to the bar, get some whiskey.
Yeah. So you walk up, he spits into a glass, grabs a filthy-looking rag and starts wiping it down, puts it back on the shelf behind him.
Oh, Eddie, find out if they have that AAA whiskey here, that new stuff.
First on my list. Yeah, go belly. Up to him, say, yeah, belly right up to the bar, and you got any of that AAA?
Sure do, my friend. Just got a case in today. He slams a box down on the table and pops open the wooden top, pulls out a familiar-looking brand of whiskey. Inside of the box is covered in straw. Blows it off. You want the bottle? You want just a dose?
I want the bottle.
All right. That's a dollar.
Fork it over.
He tosses it into a till. He starts taking the rest of the bottles out and just lining them up on the back wall. Tell me how that is, stranger. Just got it in today. Here, it's good stuff.
I'll take a nice big drink of it first time, and then I barely drink anything after that.
Mm-hmm.
Tell them it's good stuff.
Yeah, that's good.
And get a couple of glasses for everybody else.
You folk want anything? He looks suspiciously over the women. As if he's about to say, I don't serve your type here. Then thinks better of it.
Does he serve any food?
You ask?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, got some bowl of nuts here. Suppose I can. You got some of these here newfangled pretzel things. Salted bread. Nah, got some pickled eggs.
No.
Make a ham sandwich if you want.
Nah, that's right. I'm good. I turn around, put my back towards the bar, and just look over everybody.
All right. The guys next to you on the bar kind of see what you're drinking. One of the guys next to you is really, really old guy, really lined face. His hands are shaking. His eyes are kind of watery. He's got the, you know, red nose, all broken capillaries. Looks over at you, looks at your whiskey, licks his lip, and says, hey, son, can I try a little shot of that? He pushes over his glass.
Oh, I'll give him a little splash.
Yeah, he takes it, sniffs it. Oh, yeah, smells good, smells good. Takes a little shot. Yeah, that is some good stuff. Hey, barkeep, why don't you pour me a little bit of that poison? A couple other guys start, you know, ordering it too, looking at it. I keep hearing this is the new stuff from back east. Everybody's drinking this. That's not bad.
Yeah, I got some in some other place I was at. Good stuff. Good stuff. Try and get it wherever I can.
Where are you from, mister?
From around here, there, everywhere. Just coming through.
You got that sound on you. Sound of a military man. You spent some time in the army.
Back in the day.
Well, got us a soldier here, boys. And the old timers all raise their glasses to you.
Huh? Raise a glass to them.
Yeah. They all drink to your service. What are the rest of you guys doing?
Yeah.
Other than just standing around looking appalled?
Just standing around looking appalled.
Sarah,
I'm just going to yell. All right. Eddie, quit hogging that whiskey.
Sarah, you notice
you
that the
sound
guy
like a drunk now.
Sarah, you notice that the guy who's been spitting on the glasses and wiping everything down with a cloth has the slightest amount of a cough. He's hiding from his customers, puts his hand over his face.
TV.
Have I heard that kind of cough before?
That sounds like consumption to you.
That's why you drink whiskey.
Yeah. You hope it
straight from the bottle.
Yep.
Huh. Well, when she says to Eddie to stop hogging the bottle, I'll grab it and like hold it out to her.
All right. Well, while you guys are talking, some of the guys that are playing cards are taking notice of your Indian woman with you. And she's getting the look from several of the men. One of them, who's already highly inebriated, walks up and whispers something into her ear.
I'd let her do it.
No. Yeah, yeah, no, I'm just going to sort of whisper to the guy, this is what's known as suicide, okay? Just to say no.
All
you
right.
Continue with that, it's suicide.
All right. Well, yeah, so he's already whispered this when you notice. Her hand just very quickly in a smooth move just pulls out her tomahawk, slams the back end of it, the non-sharp end, on the bottom of the guy's chin. Let's see here.
Oh, she likes him.
And knocking him to the ground, and he just as quickly, you know, puts the axe back, and the guy is out cold. His friends at the table just start laughing, pointing at him.
Pretty much.
Eddie will start laughing at him as well.
And she goes over to Sarah and kind of just kind of between the two of you, kind of quietly says, and she says, "Why would he offer me money?" I'm sure it wasn't for a good reason. I did not like the smell of his breath.
No, it was not for a good reason. I will explain later, but
and what would be upstairs in an establishment like this?
I don't want to know, and neither do you.
She just grunts.
Yeah. Yeah, so like take the bottle from Eddie. I take a not a real swig, but just a not a really big swig, but just enough to, you know, notice of people see that I took a swig. Mm-hmm. And I start steering Weimatai out the door and towards the hotel.
All right. What's everybody else doing?
Oh, and I give Eddie back the bottle.
All right. The guys seem to be more interested in laughing at their friends than taking any kind of slight over what Weimatai did. Bartender just barely even noticed, just kind of grunting. you do notice that you were the only two of the fairer sex in the saloon.
Yeah, if he just came up to make a comment like I'm assuming, and yeah, time to leave.
All right, well, what are the rest of you doing?
Still just looking around.
Yeah, this is one of the... the den of inequities, young, that your father always told you to stay away from. These are men in the middle of the day that should be working hard and earning a living for their families, and they're already drunk. It smells bad, and you're pretty sure what the bartender is doing to those glasses can't be healthy.
Obviously, I get involved in a dart game.
Yeah. Luke, yes, all right. You go over. In fact, there is a throwing lane. Yep. Actually, in this kind of town, it's axe throwing. They've got tree trunks that have been cut up with a bullseye pattern on the road. And this is the kind of place you're in. The floors are sawdust, and as you're walking over, one of the guys goes, retrieves his axe, drops his trouser, pees on the wall, kicks the sawdust back over it, comes back.
And?
Yes. Hey, stranger.
Hey.
Yeah. Hazard a throw. We're putting money on it.
I'll give it a go. I haven't really tossed the X too much myself, but yeah.
Nicola toss each round. Man who gets the closest to the center gets the pot. And play as many rounds as you want, stranger. Right.
See how it goes.
You pitch a nickel pot.
As a nickel of pots, I don't really care if I get taken at this point. So he could be a sharp, and I don't give a crap. Not a nickel of pot. No.
All right. You sit here and play with him for a while? Or are you just going to give a throw? All right. Good enough. Do you have the throwing skill?
Yes.
Okay.
I don't think I've thrown axes too much, but I have the throwing skill.
That's fine. Give me a throwing skill. Just give me one roll. Well, this will be several rounds.
Ooh,
wow. Nice.
Oh, yeah. Business luck.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. So you're mostly winning.
Yeah.
But, the people are you're bringing out the competitive spirit in them, so more people are kind of coming around, throwing their nickel in the hat. So, you're making a bunch of pocket change. If you want to strike up conversations, you can with them. Most of these guys aren't drunk. They're just here to have a beer or two before they go back to work.
Yeah. Well, I sort of asked, what do they do around here then?
These guys are all miners. They're
right.
Yep. They
where do they mine? Where's the mine then?
Oh, yeah, what just a pace outside of town. Yeah, it's mostly coal. Sometimes we run into some other things down there, but mostly coal.
Given that I've heard weird things about the post bars, I wouldn't be surprised. You guys have your own rumors.
Actually,
down there.
I'm horrible at accents, so I'm not going to try this. But all these guys seem to have the same sort of accent. They all sound... Is Luca kind of a world traveler? I would imagine if he's come down from Canada to the States.
A bit, yeah.
Okay, so they've got kind of a... What would it be?
I'll give you
a
one
Dutch,
of my chips.
Dutch accent?
Do an accent there, but.
They've all got this kind of a Dutch accent. They all actually look very similar too. You figure that this is an extended family.
Okay. All right.
One of the guys is doing a little bit better against you. He's not drinking much. He's nursing a beer through the whole thing, and he seems to be a very affable guy. Hold on, let me find his name here real quick. Sorry.
It's not that we're going to remember it, so it doesn't.
Now, he just lets you know that, the patriarch of the family, Olaf, it's his mine, it's his stake, and all of his youngins and all of their extended family are mining out here.
Well, you get much interest from Creole taking it over? He seems to be the kind of guy I'd want to own everything.
He's more interested on land. It's got grass growing on it. He's not too interested on anything underground. He buys coal from us every now and then. This guy's name is Brig.
Brig. Okay.
Olafsson. So he is Olaf's son. Is his eldest son.
Brig Olafsson. And then there's a thing I'll bring up.
I'm sorry. That's more Nordic than Dutch.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is rather.
Yeah.
Dyke Clogs. That's his name. That's not his
Dutch. Yes, and his brother Sven. And.
Yeah. The only other thing I'll ask them about, I just have that little general, is to sort of bring up the postpons. They've got their own rumors and stuff about postpons. I don't know if you guys have got anything down there you need to be watching.
Oh, yeah, these guys are tale tellers. Oh, they love it. You bring that up. They buy you a round.
I'll buy my round. I'll buy a round as well when time comes around. I'm not going to.
All right. Oh, no, but they're all interested in this, and they tell you all kinds of stories. And they're like, I remember when Olaf first came down here. Yeah, he brought this dog with him back from the old country. He loved that dog, something fierce. And it got into something that it should not have. And it died on him one winter. And he took that dog. He took it out to the post piles. Sure enough, that dog came back to life the next day. Never the same afterwards. Always getting into some mischief. He was a biting dog after that. Real even-tempered beforehand. Olaf, he had to put that dog down within a week. He just got vicious on him.
Yeah, but I have seen Pet Sematary Bert.
Yeah, called that dog Cujo. But some of the older guys nod and say like, "Oh yeah, we remember that. Yeah, broke his heart to have to put that dog down."
Hey, Jan, here's a new group of people you can ask about dragons.
Dragons, we call them worms back in the old country. Crawled on the ground, great blast of cold that came out of the mouths.
For some reason,
Lindorms. That's it. Lindworms or Lindorms. That's what we got.
Yes, I have not felt the need to ask about dragons for some reason. I do not know why exactly.
Young? No, let's go about dragons. What's wrong with them?
great ancestor slew one of those things, fed the community for a week, and then they all got sick and died. But it killed it! I suppose it killed him in the end, but... So, yeah, you spend some time with these crazy Nordic guys. They love telling tales, and you just got them started. This will go on for a while.
So much for the afternoon mining, then.
So while they're doing that, I'm going to take Wimitai back to the hotel and very gently explain to her what that guy was doing and was wanted and why I decided that was probably best for us to leave.
Oh, you explained it to her. Okay.
Is the guy still in here, or is he unconscious and been dragged out?
He's still laying on the floor. No one's bothered to pick him up or check on him or anything.
I wait for him to come in and stick.
If you explain it to her, she's going to go back and kill the guy.
I said, I've also explained to her that killing him is counterproductive. You embarrassed him, which is a far worse punishment. But also, Bert, quick question about the hotel. Does the hotel have like a porch out front?
Yes. It's got one that stretches all the way around. You can kind of see it in the drawing here. It stretches all the way across the front and then to the side. That's all a porch.
Okay,
and
does
yes,
it have...
they've got the little rocking chair set out.
Okay, so as it gets close to like 3-ish or 4-ish, mm-hmm. I'm going to go and sit on the front porch where I can see the front of the general store.
Mm-hmm.
Since she says she closes up at about 4,
yep.
So I want to just make sure, I just want to keep an eyeball on it, see, make sure nothing weird happens when she goes to close up shop.
That's fair. Roll me a persuasion roll, just for funds.
Are you going to have the shotgun under the Afghan?
I'm going to have the Oh, my.
Oh.
You're not entirely convinced that Weimatai isn't going to sneak out sometime during the night and kill somebody. You're not entirely convinced she's not. So what is Eddie doing while Luke is getting on with a bunch of other foreigners, apparently?
Just trying to make a little bit of small talk about the creek and the piles. And
all right. Well, you got the old guys up here. Some of these guys served in various points, and that's why they were willing to drink to you as a fellow soldier and all. So they got the war stories and such. A lot of them, they're older guys in the community, so they can remember back when all this nonsense, they got, as they said, it got started. A couple of them are into it as being, oh, it's a definitely a supernatural place. You know, we got stories of things coming back from there that have been buried there. And one guy is more practical, says, yeah, it's more likely the thing wasn't dead to begin with. We haven't had good doctors in a while. It probably was unconscious or something, just came to.
Mm-hmm. But the more stories I get, the more liquor it starts flowing.
There you go.
Just keep them going. And if the bottle runs empty, I'll get another one.
Mm-hmm. What's Young doing? Just standing in the middle of this place. No one seems to mind your Chineseness, by the way.
No one's really glad that. No, if there's, I mean, there's nothing here for me, really. I didn't mind standing around looking on as the others did stuff for a while, but if they're going to be hours, then...
Yeah. Well, one of the guys from the card table...
Just go for a
wander
around the town just to soak up the atmosphere and see where I get looked at badly and then go back to the hotel.
Well, before you completely leave, one of the guys stand up from the poker table and calls out in impassable but really bad Chinese to you.
What is he?
And he basically
I've got my
says,
"Finger hovering over the fighting button, just so I can knock him out as I walk out the door."
Now he basically says, "Where are your friends?"
I point at the two people around me.
No, you're one of Quan's guys, right? We usually have a game. You guys coming into town tonight? Usually a bunch of you.
I am not one of Quan's men.
Oh, that's
but
too
Quan
bad.
Has been coming to town? That is interesting. Perhaps I
yeah, tonight's payday, apparently. They come in and play some cards, get drunk with us. They're all right guys.
Huh.
Well, if you're not one of Quan's and you want some hospitality of your own, come on by tonight. It should be out.
I thank you for the offer. What time do they usually get into town?
Oh, 8, 9.
And they come to the saloon. They are.
Yeah, fistful of money. They get liquored up, lose some, win some of the cards. We enjoy them.
Interesting. Thank you.
I will go over and tell the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And I will continue my thing around the town and then go and tell Womatai and Sarah the excitement of what will happen this evening and how we. I don't know. They might have got the wanted posters for us. So, watch it.
Sure. All right. What's going to end up here? Luke, you're going to get an invitation anytime if you want to drop in. Apparently, their whole family, they have kind of a, they live right near the mine. They basically have mm-hmm. their home set up around there. You're invited to come by, have some herring,
I remember the kind of fish that they have up there.
have some of their traditional alcohol with them. You're welcome. Yeah. They say some of the graybeards know more of the tales. You know, if you're into that sort of thing, come on by. So you get an invitation to that. Eddie, the old guys here, you know, taking a liking to you. Apparently, they get together every now and then, talk about old war stories. You know, they here during the day in the bar when it's not quite so rowdy, and you know, it's pretty rowdy already. But this is apparently the not quite so rowdy time.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I might just have to come back.
All right, so you guys made friends of some sorts hereabouts. You go wandering around the town, Young. Once again, the town is pretty limited. It's pretty small. From what you can tell during the day, I mean, this being the main strip, the main part of commerce, there's some people moving in and out doing that. But for the most part, a lot of people here looks like they either work at the mine or they work for Creole's ranch. Because there's not a lot else here for industry. Not about a lot of places people can work. The carriage station, maybe, you know, they'll employ a few people. But there's not a lot else here that people could do for money.
Well, there's always the upstairs in the back room.
I watch Eddie try to make money.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you wander around. Once again, it's kind of interesting that you don't really draw suspicious looks like you do in most mostly white neighborhoods. Apparently, your people come through here often enough that you're a common sight.
Hmm.
So do you think in particular,
I wave at some people, I guess.
Yeah, some of them wave back to you. There are, you know, a couple times that there's a few women and children out for a stroll, and, you know, the women will just, you know, very politely move to the other side of the street, but not like hurriedly or anything. Like, you know, don't look at the filthy Chinaman, nothing like that. Just, you know, they're unaccompanied women. You're a man out in the street. They just, you know, propriety's sake.
Okay.
Yep, as far as towns go, I mean, other than the dust up this morning, everything looks perfectly normal. You do see some kids out, do see some women out shopping.
There are no other groups of people just hanging around in places.
No, not right now. Of course, once again, you're midday, so most people are at jobs right now or out working. The stagecoach area, they do get a fair amount of business with coaches coming and going. This is the main way things get here. Is it's off the rail line, so it's all stagecoach bringing stuff. Mail comes in pretty constantly. You do notice that's slightly different than what you've seen, is that they've got a lot more people on the carriages with shotguns. Like, they're much better armed than in some places you've been.
Oh. Interesting.
I ignore it for the moment.
Yep. But nothing else really seems to stand out. It's a fairly, you know, it's a fairly good community. No one really slights you when you go, if you go into any of the stores and look around, you know, they come out and a few of them even know a few small words in Chinese enough to ask if you need anything. You know, if you
need if anybody asks, goods. I make it clear I am not with Quan's man.
Okay. Or,
because I think they've got a bad reputation in this town, so drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I say, no, I am just a passing traveler.
Okay, yeah. Just well, some of them, once again, point out that, you know, well, if you're not, then a lot of your folk come out to the saloons. They'll be out there tonight. They apparently spend enough money in town that it offsets what problems they do cause. Okay, let's put it that way. So they're not, you know, they're not despised. They're somewhat welcome because they do spend money in town, which helps the economy.
After a while of them pointing out, hey, your kind come into town tonight, I will point out others of their kind when they point that out to me. Look, you have another one of your kind over there.
Look, they just got out of the stagecoach.
Yeah.
All right. So this will go on until, we'll say, Caledonia closes up. You're outside from the hotel kind of watching to see that, Sharon?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, it seems to be just fine. She locks up, and then she starts basically heading down this way. She's got a house here at the back end of town. She waves at you on the porch as she sees you and Bimatai there.
Okay, I wave back.
She just calls out that she's got to go and make herself presentable. She'll see you for dinner.
Till then.
Meanwhile, Luke has been drinking in the bar all day.
Yes.
And so has Eddie.
Smelling like bad liquor, cigar sweat, and probably lots of dried fish. I don't know. Yeah.
There is one other thing I'd like to do this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Probably take Eddie with me if he's willing. Take the Ario speed wagon out to see if we can find the old dead body of the person we ran over.
Oh, you want to go out and look for it? Okay. Yeah.
Hey,
sure.
It's worth money.
Yeah. Apparently, they just left him out on the road.
Awesome.
$25. Thank you very much.
All right. You just throw him in the back of the speed wagon.
Yep.
All right, so we'll say this is happening.
Can we prop him up so it's like he's riding with us?
Yeah, sure. Other than the crushed skull from the wagon wheel, it looks just fine. Put a hat over that. all right, so you ride back into town. So what do you do with him?
Take him to the sheriff's office.
All right.
That's what you do.
Sheriff is up and about by this point. You can definitely smell the alcohol in his breath, but he's not. He's not wasted.
Hey, we made sure for alcohol smelling breath.
Yeah, he goes out and looks at the body and he checks. He's got the same posters Jigs up in his office. Yeah, he says, "Well, if you wouldn't mind, take him out to the coffin makers. We don't want the body sticking things up. If you wouldn't mind, check back with me in the morning, and I'll have your money."
Okay. Sure. Okay.
Yep, and he puts a big X through the one wanted poster.
One down, 10 to go.
Yep. We'll get him. I want to take a good look at the other 10, so it would be easier to recognize him when I see him again.
Sure.
So basically, if we see him, we can kill him, and that'll be it.
Well, they're wanted dead or alive, so yeah, there you go.
Yeah, it's easier if they're dead. It's fast.
Yeah, it is easier if they're dead.
And if you collect the whole collection, you get the bonus prize. Gotta catch them all.
And we will.
Right. Sure. So, yeah, you drop them off at the coffin maker's place. It's a really seedy looking guy. I mean, he's got the whole mortician's outfit going on, but it's really threadbare. You know, it's stained in places here and there. The guy mumbles a lot. You can barely understand every other word he says, but you get the idea. He wants you to lay the body over there.
Yeah.
Let's see. Give me a second.
And obviously we're not being subtle about this at all, so everyone pretty much knows we're the ones who are responsible for this.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why I wanted to prop him up. So yeah. Everybody sees that that we got
him. If they want to come after us, come after us. Bring it.
Yeah, Eddie's dying for a fight.
Joe Welkington. His hair is all in just kind of a mess. He's got these wild eyes. He's really an eerie kind of guy.
I'm getting a whole Quick and the Dead vibe from this entire town.
As you guys are dropping the bodies off, he's kind of serendipitously taking measurements of you guys. He's like, how broad are your shoulders? How tall are you? He's just kind of holding a tape measure up and kind of eyeballing you guys with it.
Yeah. Whatever.
Right. Ain't gonna happen.
All right, so if anyone else has anything to do, otherwise we'll just cut to dinner.
No, we got to go to the gun shop.
Oh, gun shop. Yeah, at the end of the day, sure enough, he has you two matched guns. You weigh them. They both feel about exactly right. He's even got it canted a little bit for the grip that you've changed on your other one. He's got this one set up for your left hand. It's nice. He did a good job.
And Derringer?
Derringer's done, too. Yep.
Excellent.
I'm going to get some ammo and ask him where I can. Is there any spot that I can shoot these off?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He's got to go out the back of the gun shop, and he's got a little range set up. You can check it out for accuracy. And
yeah.
Does a really good job.
Blow a couple of rounds through it.
Mm-hmm.
All right beside the livestock and horse trainer.
Yeah.
He's getting the targets for.
Well, that's why the targets move.
So again, the way I'm doing money is I basically just got a die value on your guys' funds, and so if it's below that, it's no problem. Don't worry about anything. But if you make big expenditures, I drop your die type. So like, if you're actually going to spend $500 on the general store and going into, you know, that's going to drop your die type because that is taking a lot of funds.
I suspect some of us actually have $500 kicking around from the Ghost Rock and Rheumatoid stuff.
Yep. Yeah, we do.
Yeah, but it's still a significant expenditure that's going to drop you.
That
overall.
Was additional money we got over and above the normal pay salary, though. So it's not like they picked it up pay. Anyway.
So how can Eddie become an employee of the Van Dorn?
You're going to have to talk to Isaac about that.
Are we still receiving the pay for Pete and Nick's characters?
No, they've probably already wired that they're in different places. So.
Oh, damn.
Actually, they're both in the same place, actually.
Yeah, they're both in the same place. Yeah.
I think
Pete may have wired that he's left the Van Dorn Agency and he's now a sheriff. So,
so the way this has been working is if you notify them where you're going to be and you're there for more than a week or two and they've got a bank, you can get the funds withdrawn from a bank from any of the Van Dorn. Basically, they've got accounts just about anywhere that's got a decent-sized bank.
We're going to have to wire back that Nick is traveling with us again.
I thought we were towing around his semi-comatose body.
No.
He went back to take care of the little Napoleon. Yes. His little protege. All right. So, you get your guns back. And just for funsies, if you guys actually get your guns checked out by a gunsmith every so often, it'll be shoot a little truer. I'll give you a +1 to your shooting. But you've got to have it maintained. So, whenever you get to a city, if you have a gun shop, look over it and sign it in for you and all that. It'll give you a little bonus.
Okay.
Cool.
Just a little funsy thing. All right. So dinner that night.
Just to make it clear, I have told everybody that Quan's people are going to be in town this evening as well. So you might not want to go to dinner unarmed.
We go anywhere unarmed?
No.
Well, I don't necessarily assume that when you're going to dinner trying to impress somebody that you come armed to the teeth with all of your stuff.
I usually take the Derringer with me.
Yeah, certainly I can believe that sort of thing, but cannot believe that, hey, I'm going to carry my rifle with me.
No.
Exactly.
I won't carry the Winchester, but I'll carry the Colts.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This Wild West kind of environment. You're not a man if you don't have guns on you. I mean,
I don't have guns on me.
Yeah. Well, then you just answered that for yourself, now haven't you?
I don't need guns. I'm more deadly.
I've got two guns. I've got a lefty and righty.
All right.
I'm assuming Sarah and her. Also, subtle way will point out that some of us probably need to clean up a bit.
Freshly shaved, and now they smell like, dung pits. It's just, it's bad.
Yeah. At least Luke, she seems to be a little interested in you. Maybe you should at least wash up before dinner.
Oh, do you think so?
Yeah.
Seems a swell gal herself.
All right, so Luke gets a bath.
Gets pushed in the horse trough, has a bath. Yay, either or.
So the hotel provides the only real eating establishment in the area. Of course, most folks will eat at home versus the expense of eating out. But there are enough travelers that there's a good crowd down here. There actually is someone playing the piano for entertainment. He's quite good. Some of the newer songs are being played. Caledonia shows up. She's wearing this beautiful green dress that really sets off her eyes. Her hair has been put up, and she's taking some time, just a little bit of subtle makeup. Just, she looks very different than when she was at the general store.
My dear, you look amazing tonight.
You don't look so bad yourself. See, you visited the barber shop. Looks good on you.
Well, one does like to clean up for the occasion. Bye, Eddie.
Eddie didn't get cleaned, apparently.
No,
he fell off fantasy grounds.
Yes, I saw.
Yeah.
All right. So, dinner. The menus are their cook is not exceptional, but it's not bad. So, there's some light conversation. Caledonia once again tries to. She hasn't completely shaken the notion that you guys aren't some kind of traveling troupe. So, you're well traveled at very least. Where have you been? What's the news?
Yeah. Because he isn't that subtle, at some point, Luke will bring up the fact that they work for the Van Dorn Agency.
Oh.
He's not going to pretend to be a Texas Ranger, young. Don't worry.
Look around, bring it up. Yeah. I look around when anybody brings up a traveling troupe as well.
So you're kind of like those Pinkerton fellas. Oh yeah, I've heard something about you all.
Yes, something like that. Yes.
Are you here on a case? Is that what they call them? Cases? Are you looking for some desperado in this area?
We're out here to do what we can. We've heard a few things about the area you want to have a look into, but nothing sure would be a problem for you.
Oh, you're here for Creo, aren't you? I knew that man was dirty and more than just what he was doing to this town. She looks up at you, slightly fawning.
I'm sure if it comes up, if he crosses our path, I'm sure he won't be too fond of it.
Mm-hmm. No, he will not be. Is Luke going to bring up the fact that there's now 10 to get instead of 11? That there's one down?
Well, he mentioned that we'd already taken care of one.
Yeah, when you talked to her earlier.
Yeah.
Okay. During the dessert course and drinks afterwards, she brings up, so you were making a business proposition.
Yes. How do you think Mr. Crab would react if someone else were to take a financial stake in your business?
Well, I'm sure he'd try to buy you out. I mean, it's not much of a store. I'm holding on to it mostly for pure stubbornness. He wants it because it is the only store in the town.
Okay. Well, I was thinking we could maybe draw up some documents, and take a financial interest in your store. I know nothing about running a store. You'd still be running the store. However, if Mr. Creo wishes to try to purchase or otherwise intimidate you out of it, he would have to talk to the new owners, which would be us. And as soon as he is dealt with, basically, you could buy your store back.
And she takes a little bite out of her dessert. Well, I mean, I wouldn't lie if I said would say I'm not interested, but if I were to sell the store, the idea would be for me to move somewhere else. I mean, I'm not particularly tied to this place, but I don't want the store to fail. So, how would this work again? You would buy out my stake in the store. So, you would own the store, but I'd continue to run it.
Right.
All right. And what kind of percentage are you looking for here?
Basically just enough till you can pay back whatever we paid for it, plus, 5%? We're not here to shake you out of money. We're just here to keep... You seem very nice, and your store serves a nice purpose, and Mr. Creo is... Well, let's just say he rubbed me the wrong way.
Oh, so we're doing this just to get back at Mr. Creo. You folk really aren't interested in the store. Oh, no, don't get me wrong. I like the idea.
Yes, it's basically to annoy Mr. Creo. Yes.
Well, huh. She thinks about it for a bit. She says, well, I suppose that I can simply, I can sign the deed over to you for, we'll call it, we'll say the 500. And now, I could simply do it for a dollar and just, you know, to make it legal-like. But I mean, begging your pardon, I don't mean any disrespect to you folk. I really don't. But I don't know you. So I've got to protect myself a little, if you understand.
Oh, but of course.
Of course.
Not that I, and she puts her hand on your arm there, Luke. Not that I think any of you are carpetbaggers or anything. and then, you know, if once the Creo's threat of taking over my store is gone, I can simply pay you back and give the money right back to you.
Exactly.
She thinks about it. This will be bringing down a lot of trouble on your heads, though. And Creo's got a lot of men. He's a particular nasty customer that is his bodyguard. You might have saw him, that man with the odd eyeball. He's a very nasty customer. He's killed at least 20 men that I know of.
How?
Yeah, he's very fast on the draw, very accurate.
So a gunslinger.
Eddie smiles at that. It's time for a fight.
People say that eyeball of his, too, that metal ball has some properties to it that make him nigh impossible to kill. I've seen him take bullet shots without so much as causing him an injury or causing him to falter in his step.
I wonder how he would fare without his eye.
I would think somewhat poorly.
Well, as nasty as he is, he's one guy, but Creo's got a whole ranch full of cowhands. Don't know how many of them would actually protect him. He's not a very fair taskmaster. Most of his farmhands, anyway, are treated pretty poorly, but it's one of the only places it'll pay a man in town. But he's got a lot of them.
How many is a lot?
Well, as far as cowhands go, I mean, he's probably got 50, 60 men. As far as what he takes with him everywhere, you saw those boys outside this morning, those six men. That's kind of his enforcers.
Where do these 50 or 60 men go?
Well, they live here in town. You know, she kind of hand waves out to where all the houses are. You know, they're locals. His men live on the property with him, though.
I get there is only one saloon in town. 50 or 60 people.
No, they don't even...
I guess they don't all have to be here at the same time drinking. There is nowhere else in the local area they could go? Over to Quan's province?
Quan doesn't have any amenities over there. That's why his men come here. As far as liquor, well, heck, you can buy liquor out of my general store. The saloon is the only place that you can find, you know, other entertainment. She kind of blushes at that.
We did not see anything there when we were there earlier.
Well, that's just it. You were there earlier. Things don't really heat up until after night.
Did not see anybody around down there. Well, I guess I was not looking. Luke spent most of the day there. Perhaps he saw some. Ah, Luke, you're not staring at your soup anymore. Did you see any other forms of entertainment while you were there at the saloon today?
Yeah, she is a particularly short woman, and the dress is particularly low cut.
Just the the axe throwing and such. So yes, they've got the 56 Cowhands, you've got the miners of this team, and you've got the Kwan people coming here. It must get pretty busy at times.
I am surprised at that.
Kwan's men usually put in a fairly sizable order when they come in. They're usually here once a week. Tonight, usually. Matter of fact, she looks over at the clock. I need to make sure they get their delivery tonight before they head out.
Oh, did you need some help with that, Leah?
Oh, he puts her hand on your wrist again. I would love it. Those crates get a little heavy.
Certainly. Itty?
Daniel nod his head.
I've got their gear packed up in crates. They usually, some of their men come to make sure that the rest of them mind their manners in town. They do a passable job of it, but they don't drink. They come to take care of business. Since they come so late, I usually open up the store again, you know, around 9, 10, so they can pick up their stuff. It's all prepaid for.
Well, certainly we can help out.
They do lumber up that way. Quite a large forest out there. They cut and drop and use the rivers to float it on down. Shanfan way. Never been out there, though. I hear the camp is using some of the newfangled steam technology. Occasionally the town will purchase lumber from them. They've got their own sawmill out there.
Do the leaders of the Kwan province ever come into town here?
No.
Just the hands. And you have never seen Kwan himself?
Not that I could tell him from, I suppose he'd be dressed better than his men, I suppose, but I've never seen Kwan. I wouldn't know what he looked like.
I am dressed in my dragon robes, so I do look better than...
So all the men that come in are all dressed as laborers, so even those that are designated to keep control aren't really dressed any better.
Well, that will be interesting. You have not heard them talking about anything about them being on the lookout for, and I roughly describe us without any sort of real way.
All right, let's see. She kind of catches on. And she says, well, as a matter of fact, they have left a few papers for me at the general store that I was supposed to have posted to the sheriff's office, but never did get around to it. Not that it would do any good, given the sheriff that we've got.
Yes, I seem to have the wanted posters earlier.
Yeah, I've got some. She says, I've got some that they sent over. English is poor on them, but... well enough, and she takes a good look at all of you.
I was going to say, perhaps Eddie could take a look at them when he goes back to help.
Eddie will smile at her when she looks at him.
Eddie yeah. almost.
So, you boys in trouble with Kwan?
No. Kwan might be in trouble with us, should he come after us, but we have caused no trouble for him.
Well, sure. I've still got the papers around. But, so when you're finished with your desserts and drinks, basically, if you want to come back to the general store, she can have a contract written up. You can take it to the assayer's office in the morning. And he has the... he's got a little bit of law learning himself, old Pappy, and he could make it all official.
Good.
Cool.
So while you're there, you know, she'll pass over the sheets. They're kind of like wanted posters, but not really, because they're not official. They're not backed by anyone. It's just basically is like, if you've seen these people, you know, they give directions to basically Quan's camp. So information leading to the whereabouts of these people will be rewarded, and you guys, as a group, have $100 reward for information leading to you. But again,
hey, the pictures
are very vague and different now, since the party is not quite the same.
Yeah,
I don't know why they were even. Well, no, we didn't annoy Quan. Really?
No, it was Kang that you really annoyed.
It was Kang that we really annoyed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the only thing we did to Quan was run some people off who were running Indians off of his land. Ran off of his land anyway. So
you figure this is just circulating because Kang, Quan, and they're all...
Yeah, I was just working through if we'd actually done anything to annoy Quan directly. Well, we haven't really, so...
We have not done anything to annoy him directly yet. That may about to be change.
Yeah, but that's you guys. Eddie hasn't done anything.
No, Eddie is not even on there. As a matter of fact, the party was comprised of the preacher man at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right, so we eat up dinner, have the papers drawn up, and... We sit around and watch the guys move boxes.
Yeah, if you guys wait around, is everybody going to wait around for this to happen?
Yes.
All right. Young, you doing anything to not be present or disguise yourself?
I will change out of my nice robe because I figured things are going to go horrible. So.
All right.
That's about it.
All right, good enough. In which case, yeah, there's... about 15 men come in, you know, fairly late at night, and all of them head to the saloon, except for one who comes over to the general store, and he has command of English that's passable. Basically, he knows Caledonia. They seem to know each other pretty well. And she goes out, shakes his hand, and they talk a little bit about how things are. Apparently, she knows that he has a son and a newborn. They talk a little bit, passing time, and then they go over the inventory list. They're buying just basic stuff: sacks of flour, sacks of sugar, rope, you know, tackle, that sort of thing. Nothing really that stands out. You know, so you're all just, or I guess you guys are kind of helping her get it loaded for him, right?
Yeah.
So
are we all doing that all at the same time?
Well, you know, there's quite a few boxes, and he's got a horse and cart that this is all being, you know, kind of loaded onto. All right, Young, he notices you there. He takes a good hard look at you for a moment, and then he introduces himself to you as Fing Shan. And, you know, as is the usual, he, you know, gives you some of the lineage, you know, the Sean family, who's son of, you know, et cetera, just to give you some family lineage. Actually, you go ahead and give me a smart roll yourself.
I noticed you did not mention that you have a dragon in your family. Oh, yeah, I do. Nah.
No, you don't know his family. Do you give the proper greeting?
What I just said there.
Oh, you say exactly that. Okay.
And then I will say, I am John Sheehan.
Okay. Lou. Yes. Yes, Lou family. Can't place puzzle boxes. Your family ran a shop, yes?
Until the troubles in Chanfan. Yes, they did.
Oh, he actually gets a big smile on his face, and he says, "Oh!" And he takes your hand, you know, takes one of your hands with both of his and shakes it, and says, "Oh, your family made for me a beautiful wedding gift. My wife still uses the box. Her wedding dress is still inside, waiting for the time when our daughter will use it. It's marvelous work."
Hmm. I am glad it could help out.
son of the Liu family is very far from home. What brings you out here? There's very few of the clan, well, none of the clan in this town. He seems very generally interested in your travels, not so much being suspicious.
I was just looking for an appropriate quote, actually. but I couldn't really find one there. Travel broadens the mind.
I'm sure you bring much honor to your family. He gives you a very deep bow, and he says again, please extend my warmest thank yous to your family. That the box is still very very cherished in the family.
I do not know if they will be setting up a new shop in their new place now that they have been maybe not run out of Shanfan, but had to leave because of the troubles there. I'm certain I will.
I've not been back in many years. Quan's camp keeps us all there for a very long time. The pay is good. The money is sent back to my family. I've had correspondence with them. They're doing okay. They have chosen to stay and rebuild. I understand many families have chosen to leave. And it's a shame.
There was much upheaval. Oh, damn, I found a quote now. Wow. Yes, there was much upheaval. It was a turbulent time.
Oh. Well, some of the men are at the saloon tonight. If you wish to join us, please. I'm sure there may be others there that remember your family.
Yes, I am certain they might recognize me. I was just going to ask, what are you doing up at the... What is Quan doing? What is it that he has you working on that keeps you so far out?
Lumber, mostly. We fell the trees. So most of them are floated to the river for the reconstruction in Shanfan. There's much buildings that were burned and need to be replaced. We have a mill here now, too, though. We mill planks. We sell them locally to others as well. Actually, you can tell that he's got something else on his mind. He looks a little, he doesn't want to talk about. Hmm. Like, there are other projects that Quan puts us to.
Anything? We are taking over the store here in town. Is there anything that we can supply to you to make these jobs easier?
Oh, actually, he's a little crestfallen that, is Miss Caledonia leaving? She's been a good friend.
No, she will be managing the shop here. She merely wishes to leave the business alone and just run the shop from now on.
Just supplies that we can't easily get from Shanfan. Mostly food items, some equipment. When Shanfan will send up... we'll send us supplies once every few months, but sometimes we need things before then, and so we get them here.
But nothing else for... No special orders you need from there?
Okay, so when you say that, he has this look that there's something that he's holding back, and he says, special machinery Quan sometimes sends, where most of us are not privileged to know those contents. But Quan takes care of that. And he slips just a little bit, and he says, the excavation equipment is very difficult to manage, and so... thank you, thank you. Please, if you wish to join us this evening, please come, and there may be those that you know. Bring your friends if they wish. And he basically goes to Caledonia, gives her a big hug, and they say a few words. Do you want anything else out of the scene?
No, that was enough to learn some more information about it.
Okay.
I'll run off and inform the others. Oh my god. They've still got the puzzle box we gave. It's amazing.
Oh, and some other important information you might need to know as well.
All right. Well, that pretty much is it for Caledonia. She, you know, she closes up shop. I
offer to walk her home, and she.
Oh yes. Somewhere else this evening. Yep. You offer her your arm, which she's so short that it's a little. She reaches up to take it.
Yep.
All right. So, what are the rest of you guys going to do? If anything, tonight.
See what the entertainment is in the saloon.
Okay.
I'm not going to the saloon.
The entertainment will probably be Weematai filleting this guy, but I'm going back to the hotel.
You're going back to the hotel. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Weematai doesn't join you.
If Weematai is going out, then I might go,
Oh, yeah. No, she's not going to the saloon, but she's not going to the hotel either.
Oh, she's going to go and kill the man. Well, whatever. So long as she's not going to the saloon to just do anything, that's fine. I'll leave her to do whatever else she wants to do.
Actually, she takes up a seat on the porch of the hotel across from the saloon and sits on one of the rocking chairs.
Well, you know, you don't have to worry about her getting arrested by the sheriff.
That is.
Yeah. All right. Getting to 10:45. Do you guys want to call it here?
Sure. I'm willing to.
Yeah, calling in. That sounds like a good plan.
I'm not really sure what else we got going on, unless something happens overnight and he goes, "Hey, I saw that person earlier." Anything. I don't know what.
All right, fair enough. Well, say goodnight, everybody, and let me stop the recording here.
Goodnight, everybody.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at incompetech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamstealmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.